and welcome to episode 228 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the Red Mass from Mars, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the man who puts the lowbrow in nobrow, it's Graham Peanut. It's Tony
that.
Esmond.
They'll listen to this. Call me Graham Peanut.
It's Graham Peanut. This week, he's now known as Graham Peanut. How have you been, Graham?
Been all right. So I'm a Graham Peanut Suburban Swinger. It's my new comic strip that I'm writing.
I mean, we want to chuckle, but we know there's probably a script that's 75% written.
Yeah, well, I'm drawing it. I'm doing the drawing as well.
Oh, you're drawing it as well? Oh,
yeah,
nice.
I've done his missus as well, Marjorie Peanut.
I don't know. He has a couple of life drawing classes where he's got some chalks in his hand, and all of a sudden, look at him. He's an Eisner winner.
Let the Eisners roll in.
One in the Eisner.
Yeah, true, my friend. I showed you the drawing.
Yep.
Which, to Adam Phelps.
There. We've got a hell of an episode lined up.
We do indeed. We do indeed. Hello, everyone. And some of you out there may have been at a convention recently.
Seems fucking ages away.
It is ages away. Yeah. It has been ages away. It's been, as we record this, it's been a week.
Yeah. I think you guys were on the back foot for a couple of days. It was exhausting,
well,
right?
Yeah. I still, I don't think I've gotten over it yet.
I stopped at the services at Leicester on the M1 on the way back, and it's full of people I'd seen at the comic convention.
Yes.
And everyone was complaining about how tired they were whilst eating like fucking Starbucks sandwiches and things.
Now, we're not talking about MCM Birmingham, which has just happened. No. And whoever was there, we hope you had an amazing time, especially those people who have just done two conventions in a row, because there's a lot of people we know.
That's amazing.
We saw at this convention we're about to talk about, who are also doing MCM Birmingham. So we hope you had an awesome time.
Yeah.
But no, this week is our Thought Bubble 2019 roundup.
Yeah.
We've got some interviews that we managed to get on the shop floor.
Quite a few. You did. What did you do? Like 8 or 10, I think.
Yeah, I never feel like it's enough.
Yeah,
mate, that was a lot.
Yeah,
and
you're doing good.
There was a lot of running around right at the end, including the last interview, which God bless the creator. They were packing up as I talked to them. But
we didn't really do it till late because I know we were both like looking at each other. Have you done the interviews yet? And then I think I text you, Sal, I've just done two, and you're like. You text me back saying, phew, we're getting there. And then you suddenly had done like 10.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. But new voices to this show as well. There's a couple of returning voices that will make you laugh. There's some new creators and some books that we've talked about, but we haven't actually had them on the show yet. And some of these people are going to be properly on the show in the future, without a shadow of a doubt. Thought Bubble 2019 was a good weekend. And do you know what else is good?
Comic House.
It's Comic House, who were also at Thought Bubble, and we got to hang out with them a bit. But they are our sponsor, and they put up with us. And they're amazing. And then it was a good laugh.
They were all good
them.
Company, actually, at Thought Bubble, weren't they?
Yeah, they were a fantastic company.
Pete and Mr. McCulloch. It was fucking very entertaining.
Yeah. James McCulloch's just, he's one of the best.
I really want to meet James. I've never met him in the flesh.
Yeah. Oh, mate, he's brilliant. He's very animated and funny. Yeah, he makes you laugh. Yeah,
but just loves comics. God damn it, does he love comics. Yeah. Yes, as do Comic House, who are an indie comic marketplace with a difference, and they sponsor the show every week. And if you go onto their website, there's a huge selection of titles on there. Lots of people are selling their hard copies and printed copies of their comics on comichouse.com. It's easy to do. You can self-publish your own book, you can list your book on there for free and start selling straight away. They also have an amazing app which they're trying to push and get out to as many people as possible, and it really is worth it, people. Because
it was talked about a lot of the weekend, actually. A lot of people were talking about it.
Well, it was indeed, and there's a reason for that. It's because it's really good. You know, if it wasn't good, in all seriousness, folks, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Well, we would. They'd have to pay us a lot more money.
Maybe. I was really weighing up my conscience there.
You were thinking, no, more money.
But no, seriously, though, it's a brilliant app. And if you've got your digital comics out there, just say you haven't got a comic in print anymore, and maybe it's gathering dust or on it's another digital platform just not really doing anything. Get it on Comic House. Because it is worth it, and you will see you'll definitely see feedback, and there's loads of stuff on there. Dan, what's on there at the moment?
We've got a Seven Shades one shot called Hell's Bells Reaffirmation, coming to terms with an autism diagnosis. Chip McFitt's Joint Fever, that looks great, by Matt Greaves.
I love the concentration that you put on saying that properly as well.
Yeah, God, that was tough. March of the Robots, Long Walk Home by Stuart Moraine.
Yep.
Slaughterhouse Farm 3, which I'm going to have to check out. Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, speaking to those crazy people. Yeah.
We've got Project Savior issue 1, which looks like a kind of a dark superhero job. Lost Time issue 7. Omen volume 1, issue 2. Surreal Zill 17, bloody hell.
That's another one.
Rob's going for it, yeah. And The Odyssey Initiation volume 1, issue 1.
So, nice. And that is a massive example of how there's a different, there's a huge and diverse range of comics on there.
Yeah.
And everyone we mentioned there owes us a fiver.
Yeah. Skelly Bob, there's another Skelly fiver.
Yay.
In the pocket.
I mentioned Skelly Bob when Heather Antos did a Twitter thing.
And today, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I got in there quick and said, oh, yeah, check out Skelly Bob. And that's got dozens of retweets. So nice. I hope that pays off, Tom.
That's £1 per retweet.
So everyone, go and find that, retweet it, and
we'll make money.
We'll go out and have a drink on it later. But yeah, go to Comic House, are brilliant. So definitely go and check out some of those books. Some of those are on my sort of short list to read anyway, to add to the to read pile. But it's amazing. It's only £3 a month, so less than probably one of your monthly books, as the prices keep shooting up these days. Well worth it, and you get access to the entire library of digital indie comics, which isn't getting smaller, it's just getting bigger all the time. Isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, it's getting bigger.
Yeah, I thought, I as soon as I started saying it, I thought I'd just put the microphone in his hand.
Don't say it like that. Don't be dirty.
I'm not being dirty. You're dirty.
Put the microphone in your hand.
He was talking about Robert and Asquith before we came on.
We were, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Anyway, go to comichouse.com for a 14-day free trial and find out more about our sponsors, who, for God's sake, why are they still with us? We're terrible. no, but in all seriousness, it was fantastic catching up with the Comic House crew.
Yeah,
it's great to see
them. So, like Thought Bubble-wise, both of you guys travelled up on the Thursday or Friday?
Friday. Yeah, I went up on the Friday. I had a mate who lives up near there, so I went for a bit of breakfast with him, and then I headed in. But did you have to go? You didn't drive your car in, did you, Vince? You just wheeled your suitcase in, is that right?
I did indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. If you drive a car in, you've got to go elsewhere and get a voucher so you can drive in.
Yeah.
And I did that, but the guys were there were a fucking proper laugh. I went over and said, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing. Am I meant to collect a voucher from them? They phoned up. They said, yeah, here you go, mate. And they said, don't go in before 3. And as I was literally getting in the car, they said, we've spoken to them, you can go in early. So quite good.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, so let's in early. It's all right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we both went up on the Friday, and just get it out of the way straight away. It was a fantastic venue, and like Harrogate's a really good place for this kind of event as well.
It's big enough for everyone to have a beer and have a laugh, and the convention centre, and it's small enough for every pub or restaurant you went in would be someone with a wristband in.
Yeah,
and that sort of thing.
That's fantastic.
And all the places to stay in hotels were literally at most a 10-minute walk from the venue. Mine was only a 5-minute walk.
And mine.
So
got in straight away, didn't you? Both of you guys, as soon as the dates were announced, you were like,
yeah, I didn't get into the convention hotel. They released some more rooms later. I ended up in the White Hart, which is, it's only 5 minutes, a little walk up a hill and you're there. So it's above the, is it the Fat Badger, Vince? Was that the name of the pub?
Yeah, it was. Best name ever. Yeah, and my hotel was, I'm not going to give you the name of it, because if I go back next year, I'm going to rebook there, because I had a lovely stay.
Yeah, she proper looked after the landlady, didn't she?
Yeah.
She tucked you in.
Yeah, well, I had a hot water bottle.
No. Sauce sandwich.
Oh, no.
And well, on breakfast.
Well. I tell you what, though. Like, damn you, butcher, damn you. I will say this. If you've, you know, for a convention weekend, if you're doing a two-dayer, I honestly think that breakfast is hugely important when it comes to these.
Meal I was eating sometimes.
Yeah, because you know, on the Saturday, if I didn't have that breakfast, I would have been completely dead.
On the, then we kept promising let's get something to eat, and then we'll end up waiting for people on the Friday, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we never ended up doing it. Yeah.
Fuck.
We end up in the because we met in the hall, didn't we? Then I gave you and Harris a lift back to the Fat Badger while I booked him a hotel.
Yeah.
You both sat in the car like and ordered me around like I was a taxi driver.
Yeah.
And then we met that comic Smell. So Tom Stewart, Dave Robertson, and the mighty Mike Sedaka with Sarah was there, and Gareth Hopkins came down, and that was our little sort of a group of pals, wasn't it? It was a good night. That was a good first night. Yeah.
Yeah. We were all and just sort of like standing outside the gents' toilet.
As you do.
No word of a lie, but you know, it was a real good laugh actually. So yeah, thank you.
And then we went to the convention party, didn't we? So they had one every night, didn't they? They had the night before, the mid con, and then the post con party, didn't they?
Now, when we say we went to the party, we went to the venue where the party was.
Yeah.
But the actual proper party, like dance floor and stuff, was downstairs, I think. But if in the Majestic Hotel, which basically, as we walked in, because we didn't know where we were, so as
Mike Starker led us.
Yeah. And as he was leading us, we thought, this is it. This is how we die. This is we're either going to be sold to someone for the slave trade, or
it sort of led us into the end of a dark car park at one point.
Yeah. No, that was afterwards.
Oh,
that
wasn't afterwards. It? Yeah.
But we walked into this. I mean, the Majestic is an impressive-looking hotel. It was really nice. And you sort of walk in, and you feel inadequate, because obviously we're just, like, in T-shirts, and, you know, we're just casual guys.
But who was that hobo? We saw a hobo in there, didn't we?
Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. And you see this super plush sort of hotel, and you walk into the sort of lobby or where the bar is, and as far as the eye can see, it's just comic creators. Just everywhere. Just sat around on sofas. Yeah. And yeah.
A lot of beards in that room, weren't there? A lot of beards and plaid shirts.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was just us. so that was a good night. And like, we literally, I think from that moment on, we didn't stop talking all weekend, did we? Really?
It was like cut out of sleep, back up. But it was that day, I remember having a sore throat, and we hadn't even been to the first day at the table. Thinking I've been talking and shouting and laughing so much.
Yeah.
I had,
in the days leading up to the Thought Bubble weekend, I came down with a cold. So I was recovering. I mean, the guys knew about this. I wasn't going to go, oh no, online, whoa, poor me. Because I just thought, fuck it, I'm going to try and get rid of it and enjoy the weekend. And thankfully, by Thought Bubble, I was fine. But you know, the throat was still sort of tender. So like, at the beginning of Saturday, I just thought, oh fuck, I need to make sure I'm on top of this. And I didn't eat enough, and I didn't drink enough water. So on the Saturday night, I thought I was going to lose my voice. And considering I hadn't had any interviews at that point, I was a bit nervous.
Well, we ended up, Saturday was good, busy, isn't it? Really busy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the busiest I've seen Thought Bubble, I'll be honest with you. Because it's all interconnecting halls, everyone was in it to win it in the same place. And where we were, it was just like constant seas of people. So it was like a busy, busy sales day. And we had a signing on from one of our creators on the table, from Luke Healy. And then afterwards, me and you, Vince, basically went, got to get something to eat, man. We're going to die.
Yeah.
So me, you, and Falpy, who was going to get his train home.
Yeah, God bless you, Falp. Yeah, big shout out.
Yeah, big shout, because he brought up some books I'd forgotten, because he lives near me. Yeah, very kindly on the train. Yeah, he saved my life. But we went to Betty's Tea Room. Now, anyone who knows Harrogate knows that that's like it's a sort of tea drinking, cake eating place for the older gentleman and lady.
It's got a hell of a good reputation. Like as soon as I talked about it, like at work the next week, they were like, "My God, you went there! Apparently, you got a book to get in." You know, it's that sort of stuff. Yeah. I thought, no, we just walked in after.
We were walking up the hill, weren't we? It's at the top of the hill. We're walking up the hill, going, "Oh, can we go in there? Oh, we won't get a seat, and we're so tired." Oh, we won't get a seat in there. We'll have to stand up. We'll have to wait for tables in there. And then there was a couple eating fish and chips in the window at Betty's. And we went, oh, fuck it. Let's just go in there.
Let's actually say what happened at that point. We were looking at the menu on the wall. And you got the big glass window, so you can see the diners right next to you. And Tony saw the fish and chips, and he just pointed at them. They were literally 1 foot away, and he's pointing at them, saying, "What about in there? Look, they're eating. Look at them."
Oh, God. It was a bit like, you know, with Nell and I, when they go in that cafe and demand fine wine and cake. That was like us, yeah. Like Betty's.
Yeah, yeah.
And literally, he sat there. Falpi had a beer, and then he left. He had to go run and get his train. Yeah. And as he left, he went to me. As he left, he pulled my trousers down. And he walked off by going, "Hope you enjoy your aubergine schnitzel." Yeah. Like that, and just walked off, and I'm like,
"Which he did order."
I said, "He's done me. He's proper done me there."
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and we're not going to give you a restaurant review here, but yeah. I tell you what, the food was it was lovely and much needed, and we just consumed it.
Yeah.
And then Tony was jealous of the silver platter service I got for my cup of tea.
You got like 14 silver things come to the table. We get a cup of tea, and we were effing and jeffing like nobody's business. At that point, we didn't really care. And I remember those two sort of ladies sat next to us.
I cared.
I literally saw one of them gulp at something I said. Oh, this is not going well. And then I started mucking about with a waiter, didn't I? Calling you my dad.
Yeah. Actually, no, it wasn't just the waiter. Everybody that weekend, you were telling them, this is Vince, he's my dad.
And then we both had to go and turn our bikes around. And so we went to the loo, which you had to go through this sort of fancy ballroom.
I beg your pardon? What does that mean?
You know, I've used the loo.
Yeah.
And what? And as there was some bloke, I had a clear out. Do you know what I mean? And there was some bloke playing the piano. And then the following morning, I put a tweet out saying thanks to everyone at Betty's for letting me do a couple of songs on the old Joanna. And people were coming to the table and going, "Did you really play the piano?" I said, "No, of course I fucking didn't."
I just can't get it through my head. Why people believe your unbelievable bullshit. I mean, every time they believe it. There's a lot of people out there that think I am actually your dad.
People say, "Oh, I wish I'd seen that." I said,
and the thing is, right, I would understand it if you had an honest face.
Tony's not known for telling a porky.
Thank you. Yeah.
Don't you get involved in this, butcher.
But I'll tell you what, they looked after us at that convention. Yeah. Chloe and Lisa and everyone.
Yeah.
Top. Chloe's top. Love her.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, they were full on all weekend. And
on Friday night we saw them. Do you remember walking out the, and we were sort of just kind of behind them actually. And they looked so tired. And I said to her the next day, I said, "Oh, I'm sorry for not saying hello last night. You just looked exhausted." And she said, "I didn't even see you."
There you go.
I was so tired. I didn't see anyone. Yeah. And they were like non-stop. I had to message them on Twitter to do something, or they bring my car in or something. And they were straight on the Twitter back. And
brilliant.
Yeah, really good, man. Yeah.
So kind of footfall wise, what was it like?
Right. Brilliant. It was, yeah.
Really busy.
It was bustling all weekend. Yeah. There was people just sort of, and a nice sort of mixture as well. You know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was really good. You know, there was the convention centre is a great sort of building. It's having it all under one roof. I mean, I forgot how many times I made the Toys R Us reference over the weekend, but it was literally. Yeah,
I did. People were saying to me, "Where's the other hall?" And I was literally saying to them, "My legs haven't made a walking movement for 8 hours. I don't know where I am."
But everything was easily accessible. Organization was just top notch. I think, you know, this is the first time. I mean, this is the first time for Thought Bubble we've had closer, not access, but you know, we've gotten to know the Thought Bubble people a bit more this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I don't think you needed that to see how hard they were working though, because you know there was always sort of helpers walking around and
never without a sense of humour as well.
No,
do you know what I mean? Never, not at all. It was good. And Chloe came over for a chat every so often, and you know, a bit of an oasis of calm at our table to have a chat. You know, it was like that.
Yeah.
But everyone was really helpful. Like everyone on the door, because I think they'd announced they weren't opening till 8:30 on the Sunday, and I arrived just after 8 because I had to go in and do the sales report and stuff. And I said, "Oh," and they said, "Oh no, we announced. Didn't you hear?" I said, "No, I didn't hear it." And they said, "Well, if you didn't hear it, come in. It's all right. We trust you." And I just came in. It was like lovely. You know what I mean? It's sort of...
What everyone is learning from this is you're a chancer, aren't you? You'll just turn up and just be like, I don't know who I am. Let me in.
Yeah, I dropped some quavers off at your table.
I know. That was a little in-joke that no one got, but I really needed those quavers.
I guess it's a bit tricky when you're like staying over like that. Where, how can you grab lunch? Like,
I didn't get lunch at all.
You guys didn't eat?
No. God bless Russ Olsen for getting me a coffee. He was my coffee supplier. And you, Pete. Mm.
Yeah, although my coffee just felt like it wasn't needed, Dan. You won't believe this.
I had one already.
Sunday morning. Was it Sunday morning I got your coffee?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I walked over and he was like, oh, I've already got one. not thanks.
Thanks.
No, don't say like that.
Like it was said.
Yeah.
Don't tell him the truth. No.
Can I give a little shout out to my table mates?
Yeah.
Helping me on the table were Eula and Lucy. Peony was there as well from Nobrow. We had Dilraj Mann to one side, who was great company, actually. We fucking laughed our way through the weekend.
Yeah.
He's got some stories, Dilraj. He's very sort of laconic and dry, but he's very funny. We had Luke Healy and Luke Pearson doing signings, both sort of big cues. Hamish stood on the other side. From a Nobrow point of view, it was a big representation of it, and we did have a chuckle. And of course, we've got the Hilda exhibition, which is still running, folks, across Brilliant. The other side of the green from the convention centre, which was drawing a lot of people's attention, I think. That's good stuff.
Yeah. And I'll just give a shout out to Amanda and Alan, who are my table neighbours on either side. You might hear a bit more from them in a minute. Well, they were right next to me, so I had to interview them. Yeah. You know, that'd be terrible if I didn't.
Do you know what? I apologise because we're not doing a name list this time. No. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
And there were so many people, like every second person at the table, I'm like, hello, dude. I'm seeing people like Alan Purdy. I'd only see him at Thought Bubble. You know, it's like that. So people are coming over. And I just,
there's creators and visitors. List of names. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. This would be 2 hours of saying, oh, it was lovely to meet you. Yeah. So we're not going to do that. You know who you are, though, and we do genuinely love you.
Yeah, can I just say, too, there's two people who I found particularly touching, and I didn't get their names, so I'm hoping they're listening, is one lady came over, and she said, and after chatting to her for a bit, she says, do you do a podcast? And I went, yeah, and she says, well, yeah, when I'm feeling a bit down, or maybe I'm a bit bored or something, I'll put it on, and it really cheers me up, and I'm like, that's the nicest thing. That's nice. Just sort of children's book illustrator. And then a guy came over from Nice, he lives in Nice normally, came over to sort of pitch his book to Nobrow, and right in the middle of showing me his book, been chatting for about 5 minutes, he went, hang on a minute, do you do a podcast? And I went, yeah. And he went, I fucking love that podcast. I'm like, oh, brilliant. Thank you, mate. There's a lot of that over the weekend.
It does. It genuinely surprises me when people come up and say, oh, I listened to the show.
Nice, isn't it? I really like it.
I know there's, you know, some creators that, you know, we haven't mentioned or, you know, that... We've probably seen on Comixology or wherever, you know. So, you know, it's not like they're just making... They're making books that are like with publishers and stuff. And that fascinates me. So to anyone who... Maybe you're listening to this show after picking up a card or listening to us waffle for a little bit over the weekend. Thank you so much for listening to this show.
Definitely. We love talking to people who listen. Yeah. Obviously, we apologise first. It's our automatic...
Reaction. Whenever anyone says, oh, I listen to your show, every time we say sorry. Why is that?
You point at me and go, he's sorry.
But also, like, if you've kind of got a small press book and you kind of want people to hear about it, get in touch with us because we can't. Every time I go to these cons, I see creators and I've never seen that person before. And then they've got some dynamite stuff. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I've got to mention one in the shouts in a bit, but should we do the big chat? We didn't interview him, but the one that made our weekend. V.
Oh yeah, go on.
So I've got a mutual friend with Dave Johnson, Bob Fingerman. And he said, "Well, make sure you hook up with Dave and say hello." So I popped over in the while Luke Pearson was doing a signing. There wasn't enough room for us all behind the table, so I took the opportunity to have a quick leg it round. So I went and saw Dave, and then I called V over to have a chat with him, and he was like the nicest geezer, wasn't he?
Yeah
top bloke.
I almost lost my shit.
Remained I didn't notice it afterwards. You said to me, I almost went full fanboy there, and I said, hey, you pulled yourself from the edge of the cliff backwards, didn't you?
It was fantastic to see. I mean, he didn't have a table like full of stuff to sell, but he was working on a sort of a a Batman, a Russian Batman, sort of. I'm guessing it's commissioned, but just seeing an original like that is just like, Jesus Christ. So good, so good.
Yeah. And all I'm going to say is, how'd it go, Dave?
It was
he was coming back to London and then he was flying off and he was telling us he had a few things to do in London. Do you remember?
Yeah. That's why I left the silence there. Yes, that was great. It was, in terms of conventions, you're spoilt for choice. It's literally, in terms of independent comics or just like comic creators and stuff, it is literally, there's not enough time. There's not, you know, because you want to talk to everyone. You know, there are people that we know quite well and we hardly spoke to.
This is my best example of this, man. Sorry to interrupt. Is Sarah Woolley, who is a creator friend of mine from New York, who we got to know each other because of Ed Trequino. I suddenly saw on Facebook that she was at Thought Bubble, and I was like, "Well, make sure you come over. What are you doing? I didn't even know you were here." Yeah. And she's messaging me saying, "Yeah, I'll be over in a minute." And I looked over, and she was two tables away, and I hadn't seen her all weekend.
Yeah,
because I didn't get the chance to walk around.
It is craziness, and like also with this show as well, we've put ourselves into this position of like, you know, there's probably rarely going to be many conventions where we're not talking, to someone. So some people did say, "Oh, you know, I kept meaning to come over, but you were busy all the time." You know,
I've even had it on Twitter today.
Yeah,
yeah.
But even if you just want to come up and say hello, please just come up and say hello because we'll interrupt anyone.
Some of them. You never know. If you were chatting to someone for ages, sometimes you want to get free of them. I'm going to say that.
We've all been there, folks. We've all been there.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, though, it was great. And, the week after, I've been kicking myself for not, you know, catching up with this person or speaking more with this person. I mean, Sarah Millman, caught up with her a couple of times, went, and I just passed a table and she had a Kickstarter reward. She had mine there.
Right.
Because I think she was, a lot of creators there were very organised and had their Kickstarter lists and stuff, and then people were picking them up at the show. And she said to me, "Oh, do you want your Kickstarter reward now or later?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I'll pick it up later. You know, you're busy. We'll sort it out later." And I didn't see her for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I saw her for like a minute where I screamed Milmo and she shouted hello, and that was like the only time I saw her, I think.
Yeah.
But even at all the parties, we were chatting to people non-stop. There was, on that Saturday night, I must have chatted to, 30 people?
Yeah.
There's still people you didn't manage to catch up with, you know?
No. So, but you need
to... I could just say as well, we did a little interview with Eamon for Mega City Podcast. He's doing a special with a sort of few different voices on it. Yeah. I won't spoil it for him, but... Okay. Mega City Podcast is a great podcast and one of our favourites, and I've been on it and I'm sure you guys will be on it at some point, but he's also doing, if you go to the Mega City Podcast Twitter, which is MCBC Podcast on Twitter, he's auctioning off 2000 AD and other sort of comics memorabilia and comics for signed comics for Cancer Research UK. I've just bid on one today. There's a link for eBay on there, so go over and do that.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, in general, it was a fantastic weekend. Thank you to anyone that picked up any of our books. And I think when I say that, I'm speaking for every single creator at the convention. So if you picked up something from our table, thank you. I did see some crazy convention hauls.
Yeah.
When people were taking pictures of what they bought, and I just thought, I was very fortunate. You know, some people seem gifted some books and stuff my way, and thank you so much to anyone that gave me books and stuff. Because I never expect anything like that, and that was very nice, and that bumped up my convention hall a bit, because I didn't get that much time to shop as well, because I'm trying to get interviews and I want to do a bit of browsing. But
I bought a book half an hour after we closed off the bloke from the Sheffield Space Center as he was wheeling his books out the hall.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's that bad.
Yeah.
A book I admired from across the hall. You know.
Yeah,
I guess it's different. Like, have you ever done Thought Bubble as a punter?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
How do you find the experience different from selling?
Well, I did it as a punter when it was back at the Armouries, and it was a bit different then. I had a sort of nearby hotel, so I could just sign. You know, I went and had a sit down, and had a coffee with some mates, and that sort of thing. Came back.
Yeah.
This is the whole. I mean, there's loads of places to get coffee and stuff like that around there. It's not. It's not a wasteland or anything like that. It's a great little venue.
Yeah.
There's like a Wetherspoons, which is like 20 steps away, and everyone was going there for lunch and posting pictures, and me and you were stuck at our tables. But it's all right, man. It's uh It's the most social convention, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Very much.
So. It's in the competition for my favourite convention experience this year, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah,
definitely.
So, well, before we introduce this batch of interviews that we got, some of them more informative than the others, some of them just nonsense. But, no, I think there's something important that needs to be done right now.
Ooh.
And Dan Butcher.
Yes.
Many times throughout the Thought Bubble weekend, the epic experience, people were asking about you.
Asking after me.
Seeing how you are, wondering where you were. Alan Henderson kept saying, I'm not Dan. And, you know, and just genuinely just, they want.
I'm going to make a concerted effort to come to the next one.
Mate, you got to come next year. Get to I'd love to. I'll drive you up. Let's do it. You know what I mean?
We were talking about this during the week, but yeah, that'd be a nice little.
So for anyone that went to the show and asked us about like you and just in general and stuff, let's put the microphone to Dan Butcher and just say, what would you like to tell those lovely people right now?
I can't wait to meet you next year. Hopefully before Thought Bubble, but if not at Thought Bubble. And I'll see you there.
I think you, mate, you're so dig it. You'll so love it, man. It's such a non-stop comics experience. Of you don't get a chance to yourself. You don't get a chance to think about anything else. It's like non-stop from Friday afternoon through to Sunday night. You know, it's brilliant.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know me, I always have an amazing time tabling with Dan Butcher. But I tell you what, I did miss your mini rolls.
Yeah. The Quavers didn't quite live up to your mini rolls, my friend.
That took me the longest time to eat that pack of Quavers because whenever I ate anything, someone spoke to me.
Mate, a coffee lasted the whole day for me because people just come over, you know. It's like but it was non-stop pals and people who were listeners, and you know, it's like literally non-stop at the table. I don't know what Lucy and Ayula thought because all these people were coming over and chatting to me, and they're like, "Oh, dear." I think Lucy said to me, "You know everyone, Tony," and I said, "Well, no, it's just that." The community is built around the podcast. You know, it's like that.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's why No Brow's done a blinder, getting you on board.
Yeah, it's just down to me. Good point.
I think the sales went up exponentially from last year. And the difference was Tony was there and he wasn't last year.
Nothing to do with the TV series. And the
No. No, that's really I think that's a minor point. I mean, if you want to bring that up and make a quibble about that, no, it's definitely the tone.
Yeah, all right, calm down, Pearson. You know, it's not you. Yeah.
But
I have to say this one thing, though. The MidCon party, it was a strange setup. So there's like a big circular walkway to get into the bar area of this hotel.
It was like the Guggenheim.
Yeah, really like the Guggenheim, isn't it? Yeah. And you walk up this sort of thing, and then you walk by, at the side of the walkway was the disco. So it's sort of a lot of people who, let's face it, comic fans are not known for their dancing skills, apart from me and Vince, obviously. But and there was a lot of people sort of dancing, and I tried not to look at them or make eye contact. I found it a bit awkward. And then you had to walk through, we passed them, and we got to me and you walked in, Vince, didn't we? They were just sort of starting to dance, weren't they? And we're like, that's strange.
Yeah. I dragged Tony there.
He did,
I know he Show didn't want to go, but I thought it was in the same venue. and you know, and it was a good laugh, actually. You know, there was lots of people that go there for the disco, but you know, a bunch of us found a sort of area.
Well, we found McCulloch, didn't we? We found McCulloch over one side, and obviously there's no party like a McCulloch party.
Yeah.
So we were over there having a laugh with him, and the sort of crowd just grew round us, didn't it? People who were sort of all knew each other, and it was like trying to find time to speak to everyone. It was a bit like that, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah,
that's fun.
Fantastic social event, a fantastic comic convention as well. I mean, I haven't been for a couple of years, but, you know, definitely I...
It's just comics as well. That's the best thing about it. You know, Donny Cates was sat there chatting to people, and Dave Johnson, and we sat next to Christian Wild Goose, and it's good brilliant. Stuff. Yeah, good stuff.
So it's got a thumbs up from us, but for now...
And we can hear some of those voices right now.
We can hear some of those voices right now because right now here's going to be a batch of interviews for the next, it's over an hour's worth of talking about fantastic books, and you can hear in the
some
background
sillier than others.
The Dave, hustle Dave and Kennedy. Bustle. The first interview is a bit unconventional, and Tony makes a brief appearance in it. and it's an unforgettable introduction.
Can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. So, yeah, for the next hour or so, folks, enjoy our little bits of audio that we got from Thought Bubble 2019.
Heart's going and everything.
I know. Exactly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the first interview of Thought Bubble.
No way. Yeah. I thought you'd have done 20 by now.
No, because I was far too busy on the Saturday.
Yeah.
And my voice is going now, so right. It's going to be an interesting day. But I am here with the wonderful Dave Kennedy, who isn't tabling at Thought Bubble.
No, I'm just stalking.
You're stalking?
Stalking, sniffing and loving from a distance.
So much love. We've been very honoured to be blessed by your presence for the whole weekend. But how are you finding it, like, from the other side of the table?
Very much enjoying. Very much enjoying. It feels bigger than the last Thought Bubble I went to a few years back.
Yeah.
I think that was at the Armouries in Leeds.
Yeah. I think that was the last one I was at as well. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Right. It feels bigger than that. I suppose it's because you can access everything so quick with the three halls. Is it three halls?
Yeah.
I'm not awake yet, sorry.
Yeah. We're literally stood in a sort of walkway between...
Yeah, I can see a man with a golden arm, a guy dressed as Squidward, a lady who is Ripley, and a tubby fella. There's a few of them.
None of that actually exists. He's just that... Yeah. He hasn't slept much.
I knew that pork was off.
But it's been good though, man. Yeah,
really enjoyed it. Very much enjoyed the social side of it. Because that's what I'm here for. I mean, I'm employed in comics full-time and I love it. And I just thought... It's nice to reach out and talk.
It's quite
talk
rare,
to people.
Yeah. It's an opportunity for lots of people from all over the country to...
Yeah, to talk know, work.
Yeah.
And I work in isolation, so to be able to sit till 3 in the morning with Nick Brokenshire and talk about art and how you go about it is just a pleasure.
Yeah.
Because I do that at my wife's face, and she's not listening. She's basically just mouthing the words, go and wash yourself. You know, it's great. It's great to be able to talk this with people who do it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting bummed. Oh, who's this guy? Hello. He's gone in dry.
Oh, my God. As if by magic, Esmond appears. He's got a very...
Bowler hat, no trousers.
He's got a very rare break from his table.
Because Luke's just turned up and there's too many of us behind the table, so...
He's doing the signing and you've thought, right, time for a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's gangster living, isn't it?
Yeah. I might have a sit down where you cheer myself up.
Good time. Mate, I've been having a sit down. You keep mentioning this as it a plus in your life to have a sit down
week? Yeah.
Because I've been doing it for 4 years as a standard.
You are significantly older than me.
Yeah, there is that, yeah. And my legs don't work. These aren't legs. These are two small kids.
This is actually the first interview that's actually going to be on the show, you know this.
Why?
Because I said it's the first interview of Thought Bubble 2019.
Maybe he's just editing the other two out who were rubbish.
The outtakes we've got.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just leave that going in Betty's last night.
Yeah.
I played the piano.
Yeah.
Listeners are thinking, Betty's what?
Yeah. Indeed. It was a lovely restaurant that we were recommended by Dave, actually.
Yeah. I'm going back now. Because the wife and son are in a park just on the other side of the town. And on the way, I will get two cakes from Betty's.
What cakes are those? I was excited about
them. The heart-shaped ones with the cream in and the strawberries and the blueberries.
Happy.
You've got to rub yourself in and make sure you've got a couple under the armpits when you go in for the kill.
Classic, Dave.
And, of course, the pickled eggs. Yeah. You can forget.
But, of course... When you're not being a degenerate, you make comics as well. So
is that, yeah. I realised there was a point to this goddamn interview.
Okay. Yeah, you go and bother people.
Kill him. Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry, I do. Yeah. I make
and
comics.
And I saw a copy of your Tales of Science Fiction that you did with the man you called JC. And that isn't Jesus Christ.
Although I do say his name in the same reverence.
It's of course, John Carpenter.
Yeah.
What an amazing opportunity in...
Well, I used to say to people, oh, how lucky am I? And then I realised I'd bloody worked to get that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In combination with the luck of meeting him and working with Mike Sizemore, who's the writer, who was the guy who introduced us. But at the same time, I drew for a long time to be able to say, hey, do you think this is good enough? And so on. So, yeah, a privileged position, an enjoyable position. But I kind
of. You've got copies of the book now, haven't you? So
of course, yeah.
Can people get them directly
from
you?
Yeah, just find me on. If you search for Cherry Sheriff on Instagram, Twitter, or even on Facebook, to be honest, get in touch with me. I can always post one out. The £400, and you get a lock of my hair from my back.
Which, if you plant it in the ground, it will grow into another day, won't it? Really?
And it will consume your family and take you to Betty's every week.
With cakes under its armpits.
So, but
what have you got lined up for the future?
I'm working on the follow-up to the John Carpenter book that I worked on. So I'm hoping everybody buys it.
Hush at the moment.
It's, this is a secret. Don't tell anybody, people listening. But that's what I'm working on at the moment.
Nice.
And there are other projects lined up to be excited about. I'm just happy to be making comics for a living. And to be in a cavernous, huge place where other people do it as well.
Yeah. And there's just talent everywhere, isn't it?
Oh, it stinks, mate. It stinks, talent. It's they're covered in it. It's like an oil.
It doesn't actually stink, everyone.
It did last night. There was a guy in the bar last night. Holy Jesus Christ. It's like somebody had rolled a skip in. But it was nice. Don't get me wrong. Oh, Jesus, I hope he's not listening. Dad, if you're listening, sorry.
Thank you very much, Dave.
No problem at all. Nice to see you, and continue the good work.
So I'm here with Al Davidson. So you were just telling me earlier, because we've had quite a few chats at the table, haven't we? You came over and bought Skip Offers, didn't you, earlier? Yeah. But you were telling me about your new project. Are you able to talk a little bit about it?
Well, it's new. It's been saying it's new. I've been working on it for nearly 20 years.
Oh, right. Okay.
Muscle Memory.
Yes.
It's the sequel to my autobiography, Spiral Cage.
Yeah, which is marvellous, man. I loved it. Yeah,
and I started working on Muscle Memory ages ago, but it was like intermittent because no funding to do it.
Right.
And, you know, I'd have to take a commercial job.
Yeah.
So I'd end up not being able to work on it for like 18 months or something and then go back to it. And then finally Neil Gaiman put me onto Patreon.
Yes.
So I've started doing it on Patreon, and that's at least letting me do enough posts every month to keep working on it fairly regularly.
So are you posting the comic on Patreon, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm on Patreon, I'm doing whatever panels or bits I'm working on a month go on Patreon.
Right.
Some go specifically to the patrons exclusively. Some are released to the public later on.
Okay.
But then once they've gone public, they're being transferred onto, I've got a dedicated website for the Muscle Memory now.
Right. So the patrons are getting them early. That's why they're in it for okay.
But they, because that's ongoing support on Patreon, you know, it means every time I post anything, they pledge money towards that. And that's basically paying the rent to keep me working on it, you know.
Yeah.
So doing it as a web comic at the moment. Would love to get a publisher at some point.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've now just finished building a dedicated website for Muscle Memory, which is Muscle Memory Survivor Story.
Okay.
.com. So you can read the whole thing for free on there, up to date.
Are you working on your life up to now? Is it going to be...
Yes, it's... the first book was focused on disability.
Yeah.
And the new book is also focuses on the child abuse, which is an aspect of my life. But it was physical abuse and psychological abuse from my father.
Right, okay.
But he was still alive when I worked on the first book.
Well,
And I didn't kind of fully sort out all the memories and everything until after his death.
Yeah.
So then I thought...
So is this based on some therapy you've had, or is it...
I didn't get therapy. I mean, one of the things I was concerned about initially was, you know, when at the time I was dealing with it, there was a lot of stuff going on about fake memories being implanted by counsellors and things and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to avoid that. So actually I used the Buddhist practice to try and process it and then deal, and then with my family support to work through it. And it took me a while to work out because I was having like anxiety dreams and memories, but I initially couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah.
So then I was like, had one incident, which we cover in Muscle Memory, where my wife said, well, I had a memory of an attempted murder by my father, or a dream. And I said, but my sister was there. So my wife said, why don't you ring your sister? And without sort of guiding her, just ask her if she remembered that time on the beach when you visited the beach. And see what she says. And my sister has mental health problems and and disability.
Yeah.
But she just said, oh, yes, that was the time when Dad tried to drown you and there was the scary dog.
And she sort of corroborated what you thought was a...
So she was able to corroborate, well, so I know that's a memory. And then by corroborating a number of things, I was then able to work out the difference between the memories and the anxiety dreams. And then we actually went up to visit Newcastle, and we found the place where that particular incident happened. Went up with my wife and my stepdaughter, and we hunted around for a while. We actually found the spot where he tried to drown me when I was a kid.
Strong stuff.
Yeah. But then he, you know, that brought all the memory back clearly.
Yeah.
But I should say that the book is about that, but it's also, it's not a victim of the week book.
No, I get that completely. Yeah. And I mean, there is, to me, from what you're saying, there's an element of it helping you get through it and the memories of it. But yeah. It's also an autobiographical story of someone we're interested in.
But it's also trying to sort of give voice, because there's a lot of abuse survivors who, through trauma, whatever, can't actually, don't have a voice.
Yeah.
The voice has been taken from them because of the situation.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, if I'm capable of speaking on myself, then I need to tell my story on behalf of other people.
Yeah.
To raise awareness.
I'm a great believer in this, because we see a lot of comics about anxiety and mental illness, but you need that element of where people can go if they're suffering from it as well, and how they can deal with it. Is that something you're addressing?
Yeah, but also the fact that I've come through it.
Yeah.
You know, I have survived.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I've got a career, I've got a family, and all this kind of thing. And I've done quite a lot of work with young people who are abuse survivors. And when I worked with one particular group, they'd never met an adult who'd gone through what they'd been through and actually come out the other side.
Right.
So the idea of being a sort of advocate and also someone who people can see has actually come through it,
yeah,
I think it's quite positive.
That's the thing, there's no future. They can't foresee a future, that some of these kids, can they? No. Who are suffering from it?
That's the issue, yeah, they can't see a future. But it's not just about that, it's also about generally dealing with violence as a person with a disability.
Yeah.
You know, apart from the violence from my father, I was always assaulted on the street when I was younger. And what I'm dealing with now in the book is, since the referendum for the Brexit, the nationalism has increased.
Yeah.
And there was an article in The Guardian the other week saying hate crimes against disabled people has gone up by 48% in the last year.
You're right, okay.
And I noticed that immediately. Literally the day after the referendum, I had people throwing bricks at me in the street.
Really?
And talked about gas chambers for people like you and this kind of thing, and concentration camps for the disabled.
The world's a crazy place at the moment, Al. Do you know what I mean? It really is.
It seriously is. Yeah, yeah. But again, I thought by me showing how I dealt with the violence throughout my life, how I learned to cope with it, and, you know, did martial arts and found different ways, and using the Buddhism to help me deal with all that stuff, it might give some encouragement to other people who are dealing with it now.
Yeah.
Because I've met people, I've spoken to people online who got really badly treated literally a few days after the referendum. Right. And some of them have not left the house since.
Yeah. It's a world of extremes now, isn't it? People seem to be picking an extreme, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, people have taken this whole sort of negative rhetoric of the government and the media.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the media are really responsible for the situation. I mean, there's no doubt of that, is there? You know?
So not just the Brexit, but also the whole austerity thing. You know, and I found that, for example, 10 years ago, you know, maybe two or three times a week on the street, some kid would shout cripple or spastic at me.
Yeah.
Now, that has been replaced by scrounger.
Interesting, yeah. I see what you mean completely now. Yeah.
That has become the replacement insult for disabled people.
So you're going to address this in the comic as well, this area? Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm right in thinking you're looking for a publisher for it to take the webcomic and extend the webcomic into a printed book, or...?
The webcomic is aimed to be eventually about 400 pages.
Right, okay.
And when that's completed, I then hopefully have a publisher to take that on and do a complete book of it.
Yeah.
And then I'll be doing another book after that. It's like different arcs.
Okay.
But they're all quite big, obviously. I'm old. There's a lot to tell because I'm quite old.
Yeah, me too, man.
So the current volume will be about 400 pages.
Right, lovely.
And like I say, it's got its dedicated website, but hopefully get a publisher for it.
We love Spiral. I was just pointing it out to the girls on the table and over, and they're going, literally one of them went, wow. Like, that's a great book. I love it.
You're pointing it out. Have you seen it? Have you got...
They were looking at it on the web. They were looking at some images.
Yeah. So it's out of print at the moment.
Right, okay. Yeah, it's a shame.
But I can't say too much, but I am in talks with somebody to get it back in print.
Good.
In the original format, because it was never printed the way I wanted it to.
Okay.
It was always intended to have the line art to be, like, in sepia.
Right.
And with spot colour. and to be in a bigger format like A4 hardback.
Nice.
But none of the publishers I approached wanted to do that.
No, it deserves that size. Yeah, right? Completely.
Yeah, it's for the clarity. So I'm currently talking to a publisher who's interested in doing it the way it was originally intended to be.
Great.
And if we can get a new edition out and then following that with the new book later on, then that would be the ideal situation, you know.
So where can people find you online now? Where can they look at this strip? How can they do it?
Well, it's, remember right, it's musclememorysurvivorstory.com. That's on the WordPress website. And my regular other work is on tagartworks.wordpress.com. And then you can see all my work on there.
Yeah.
And on, you know, like on Instagram as well, you can find me.
Look at you, you millennial.
Everywhere. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. It's tag artworks.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Al. Big fan, man. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. I'm here with the mighty, slamming James Lawrence. He of La Mariposa.
Hello.
You,
I'm doing well, man.
Yeah, I can see in your hands as we speak.
Yeah.
They're just fresh off the printers, Kickstarter.
Yeah. Smell that ink.
Oh.
It's a delicate bouquet.
The culmination, I mean, since we spoke to you on the show, I mean, a lot has happened, you collected this Kickstarter. How was that whole campaign and that experience? Because this is, I mean, you've been working on the webcomic for a long time, and this is almost a culmination of a lot of things, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I wasn't going to do a collection of the webcomic. I was going to let it stand as it was. But then I quickly realized, like, talking to people, talking to readers, that I had two different markets. I had people who were buying the mini comics.
Oh, really?
People reading the web comics, and a lot of the time they weren't aware that the other thing existed.
Really?
So I thought to myself, well, like, the web comic is just kind of sat there. It's finished now. I'm not doing anything with it. Why not make it a book?
Yeah.
You know, because I've certainly bought collections of web comics before. So, why can't I get a slice of that pie? You know?
And how does the pie taste?
Delicious. Yeah, it tastes so good, man. No, yeah. It was amazing. Like, everyone came out of the woodwork. Everyone was so supportive. I've got pull quotes on the back of the book from the likes. You know, I got Jamie Smart, Kyle Starks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even an actual real-life luchador. A Mexican, you know, an actual
How
sort of wrestler.
How good is that?
It was great. It turns out he's a reader of mine.
Amazing.
And I now know his... I know, in the words of the Kurgan from Highlander, I know his name. But I've been sworn to secrecy.
Oh, really?
Nice. The code of the luchador.
Yeah, yeah. The religion of the luchador.
Yeah, the cult of the luchador.
Yeah, which you must be steeped in now.
I feel like I'm becoming indoctrinated into their ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And the book's amazing. I mean, the actual collection itself, what actually is in that collection? Because you've got mini books as well, haven't you?
Yeah. This collects...
Just the webcomic itself?
This is just the webcomic. It's a 200-page full-color graphic novel. It's got two gorgeous pin-ups in it from the likes of Demetrius Zach, who I'm sure you know.
Oh, love his work, yeah.
And Dozer Draws, who's a... I believe they are a German artist. Who,
that's amazing.
Is an absolute... I mean, you can see...
At Little Dozer Baby.
Yeah, Little Dozer Baby. Amazing. And they are an absolute killing machine when it comes to wrestling art. Absolutely amazing. Fantastic.
Because you're no stranger to that yourself. I mean, obviously this is a wrestling adventure comic.
Yeah.
But you love the graps.
I love the graps, man. I love the graps. I went to see Pro Wrestling Eve at their debut show, Up North.
Oh, nice.
Recently, and that was awesome. I almost got kicked in the head at one point because I wasn't paying attention. Because there was no seating. So it was punk rock gig style things piling around the ring. My hands hurt so bad because I was just banging on the ring all night. And at one point I wasn't paying attention. And one of the girls came out to do like a 619, like Rey Mysterio's swing through the ropes.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to limbo back. and I just kind of, it kind of parted my hair for me almost.
Amazing.
It was an amazing show and really, really positive as well. They were really supportive. Like they had a... normally what they do is they have a bit of an intermission act and they do a bit of a... They'll have a bit of burlesque. They'll have a local burlesque act. But unfortunately, their act called in sick. So the MC, she got on stage. She spoke really honestly and candidly about her struggles with mental health.
Bloody hell.
And it was really supportive. It was a really moving environment.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It's the sort of thing that you can't really tell the atmosphere from a YouTube video, can you? Is it, if you're there.
It's so funny because it's got, wrestling has got this... this reputation as being very macho, and quite aggressive and like chauvinistic, but I think that's dying a death now.
Yeah.
It's like indie wrestling is like some of the most supportive community.
Yeah.
And you know, all sorts of great messages about like body positivity. Yeah. You know, all sorts of LGBT representation, all that kind of stuff. It's like, it's amazing to see the, you know...
Much like comics, there's a groundswell, isn't there?
Well, I mean, there's such a crossover.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's so easy for someone who's a comics fan to get into wrestling and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because it, in many ways, it's a similar community. Yeah. It's just that one community is made up of, like, quiet, pale nerds who will sit and draw for 8 hours a day. And the other one is made up of giant athletes.
Yeah.
You know?
Which one's which?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that the comic artist community is just going to spend 2020 getting yoked. So yeah, I'm kind of hoping that by next year...
Nothing but protein shakes.
Yeah, just protein. Every time you check Twitter, you have to do 20 squats.
My God, man.
I'm looking forward to just an army of just rippling, like, vein masses selling their risograph scenes next year.
I mean, as well as the wrestling, though... and the amazing webcomic, you launched something else here today, which something that kind of came out of the blue for me when you guys announced it. But how long is it? Tell us a bit more about, what was it, the Knife Point Horror Anthology?
The Knife Point Horror Anthology, yeah. Knife Point Horror is it's a podcast. And it's, I'll just read from the back. Sorin's tales of supernatural suspense adhere to the most primal element of storytelling. A single human voice describing events exactly as it experienced them. So it's a great podcast. Every episode, there's no preamble. There's no, hey, how you doing? Like and subscribe. It just goes straight into the story. Each one is like a different genre. You know, some are set in the modern day. Some are period pieces. Some deal with different aspects of horror, like existential horror.
Yeah.
That good old, that Lovecraft good stuff that we like. Folklore. And so what's great about it is that all the stories are licensed under Creative Commons. So you can do what you want with them. So we got in touch. We got in touch with him, and we were just like, hey, Sorin, we're thinking about... The guy's name is Sorin Narnia. We were thinking about adapting some of your stories into comics. Is that cool? And he went, yeah, I'll write a foreword for you. And he did.
Amazing.
And it's amazing. So we got together a bunch of artists. So it's me, Mark Penman, V Glass, Adam Cadwell, John Pearson, Chris Doherty, Sean Martland, and Charlie Smith Hopgood.
I mean, that's a murderer's row of talent.
Yeah,
right,
so
there,
we are going with like veterans, and in some cases, it's Charlie Smith Hopgood's first sort of printed comic, and he absolutely crushed it.
Yeah.
You know, and Sean Martland's in there. We got V Glass, like, you know, front and center of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's great. 8 stories, each one's a little bit different. It's awesome.
So for those who want to get hold, I mean, that's 2 different flavors of ice cream you got right there, but
that's
both
how we do it.
You don't hang about. It's no messing. But obviously, for those that missed out on the Kickstarter, you're fulfilling the pledges now for the Kickstarter first.
Yeah, I wanted to have the books on public sale for Thought Bubble. I wanted to debut them this weekend. But there was, there was logistical delays with banks and so on. And it just, I don't think it would be fair on the backers to release it publicly when they haven't got theirs.
It's better to do it right, isn't it?
I will be releasing it for public sale once I've fulfilled all the rewards.
Amazing.
So
where can they go to find out more, like when that goes?
I'll be announcing on my social media. So Twitter, it's at King Friday Joe. And my Instagram is Jimmy Dean Sausages.
Both accounts I follow, and that name makes me laugh every time.
I did not know it's an American hot dog brand, because it was a nickname that a mate had for me. And then it turns out it's a popular brand of hot dogs in America.
Yeah.
So I keep getting tagged in recipes.
Well,
so now I'm just sitting on the IP in the hopes that they'll get in touch.
It goes back to you being delicious, my man.
I mean, you know, delicious, flavorful with a thick casing.
Oh, my word. But I mean, that would be a full stop. But in terms of the Knife Point Horror Anthology, where can people get that after?
The Knife Point Horror Anthology, once we're done here, that'll be going on sale. That'll be going on our various online shops. Mine will be going on my Big Cartel, which is longlivelamariposa.bigcartel.com. That's going to be going online within a week of the... within the coming week.
Yeah, nice. So maybe when you listen to this, it'll be available now. So,
as always,
you're a legend.
Thank you very much. So are you.
Yeah, keep chugging those protein shakes.
I'm going to, man. I'm going to.
Right, what is it? It's Sunday morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you feeling tired?
Yes.
And I am with... Do you want to introduce yourself? Just tell us what you got out, dude.
Yeah, so my name's Luke James Halsall. I'm one of the people that runs Trongate Publishing, and I have the Anomaly Squad, the Out of Time Trade, and Siege of the Hyde.
Okay, so let's start with Out of Time, because you've decided just to fuck with people. Yes. By releasing issues 1, 2, and then you didn't release an issue 3 because it's a time travel story. You released an issue 4. Are you going to release an issue 3 maybe in a couple of years or something?
No, you need to read issue 4 to find out what happened to issue 3, as issue 4's full name is The Quest for Out of Time 3.
Oh, right, okay, cool. Okay, cool. And you got, what's the other one, Anomaly?
The Anomaly Squad, so it's kind of like a love letter to Doom Patrol, the Umbrella nice. Academy, that kind of thing. So the general premise is that on a Tuesday morning, all the superheroes disappeared, and all that we had were the leftovers, which consists of Little Miss Hitty, who's, I would say, a cross between Mary Poppins and the Bride from Kill Bill.
Right, okay.
Franco...
Nice. I'd watch that porno. Yeah.
Right, I'll give you the tapes
your
later.
Mate just said he'd seen that one.
I've got Franco, who's a vampire who likes happy hardcore rather than being a goth, and hates it if you call him a goth.
Right, okay.
That 90s guy who is obsessed with positivity, but he has the personality of Kevin from Kevin and Perry.
Right.
Which I realised makes me very old, because there's lots of people here who haven't got a clue who Kevin and Perry are.
And Mrs. Robinson. Was it Mrs. Patterson?
Yeah. probably one of my favourite characters is Monochrome, who's stuck in a silent 1920s movie.
Right.
So he can't speak or anything like that.
Okay.
And he's all black and white.
Yeah.
We also have Daryl.
Who's drawing that?
Jim Lavely.
Right, okay. Oh, I know Jim.
Yeah.
Have you interviewed Jim before? Right. Okay. Is he a fellow Scotsman, Jim?
I've never met him. I don't think he is.
Do you not want to meet him? Is that?
No.
No, okay, fair enough.
keep the hands clean, you know.
So how's your thought bubble been? Has it been good?
It's been good so far. Can't complain. We've done really well. We've got some really good stuff out. So we've also got Comics World, which we've been selling really well. We've only got 2 left of that.
What is that? Sorry.
So what we did was we got that into every single Cineworld in Scotland on the day the Avengers came out. Kids got a copy of it for free. Idea being that kids go and see the Avengers but won't read a comic book.
Yeah.
So
point,
hopefully
man.
They'll
yeah,
read.
We've been talking a lot about that in the bar last night. Yeah, it's a good point.
We gave away 1,000 in one night.
Wow, okay, nice. Yeah.
A few thousand in total.
That's getting up to be one of the most distributed magazines in the UK.
Probably.
It's good figures.
Yeah, I think Razzle Reader's Wives is around the same amount.
I've heard of those books, but I've never seen them.
We're hoping to top that, you know, soon.
Yeah, one day.
All right. We might have to add something to the page 3, you know, we'll see.
So what else you got going on? You got anything in the works?
Yeah, I've got a new book coming out with Chris Manson, who's at the table next to us. It's called Mind Hacker.
Right, okay.
So it's kind of like a spiritual sequel to Out of Time. It's in the kind of Out of Time universe without being in the Out of Time universe, if you know.
Okay, cool. Oh, nice. That's nice.
So
yeah,
the main character is called Dr. Clive Eagles, who is a cat.
Right, okay. People love cats, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
who performs operations on people in order to change your brain into someone else's body.
Who's your mate standing there? Because he's walked off now.
That's Gordon Robertson. He also does comics as well and writes and things like that. He's also part of Trongate.
Oh, nice. Okay.
He's done...
He is. Oh, thank you, man. He's back.
Yeah.
Thank you. Comics Boy, just give me a copy of Comics Boy. That's very kind of you. That's brilliant work. Good stuff, man. This is the thing we've been talking about for a long time and never got done. Yeah, good.
I like that you opened it on mine and said that was brilliant work.
Yeah. No. Oh, was that yours?
Yeah.
Okay, you're fine.
It's better because it won't film it from
you. It improves at the back. Is that where you are?
So all the mucky pictures at the back.
So where can people find you, man?
Well, we've got the Trongate website. You can find us on Facebook. We've got an Anomaly Squad page as well for that. We've got a Twitter page, all the usual stuff.
Yeah, okay, cool. And standing next to you is, you're part of the same...
I'm part of Trongate as well. Yeah, I'm Gordon Robertson.
So what do you, Gordon?
About that. I've been away from Comets the past couple of years. Right. Life kind of got in the way, and Comets were obviously getting back in that with Strongate. And look, we're still just telling a couple of bits and bobs. I've got a strip called arse cancer. I've been my experiences with bowel cancer.
Mate, I'm already on board.
I'll drop you a copy then. Yeah. We've just got some resigned copies that we're selling just to raise some funds for charity, some 50p. Okay. And I'm just going to get back into it now. So I've been away for a few years. It's time to get back in.
Okay, cool. Nice one. Good to be back. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Okay, so I was wandering the floor of Thought Bubble, and now I've bumped into Jane Sayer.
Yep.
Who was just giving me
not
a
not Leo, but with even bigger ear.
Well, immediately you're going to be popular with our audience. Oh. And you've got The Bells, Volume 1.
Yeah, that's right.
Fair of Face, Sleight of Hand, looks an awesome little book. But yeah, tell us a bit about it. What is it?
So it's basically a Victorian heist that's sort of part Ocean's 8 and part Downton Abbey, and
that's quite a mix, man.
Yeah, I would say so it's basically, it sounds a bit bizarre, but it was based on an article that I read about a couple of blokes steal this giant church bell. But it was back in 1861. Oh, and wow. The thing was massive, and to this day they don't know how they did it. But it's all based about, so it's sort of like
that
an
was
adventure,
the, that was
the inspiration
for it.
But it's basically a lady living in quite a lonely existence. She's not an entrepreneur. She's got a housemaid, and the two of them are sort of trying to figure out like what these guys are up to. So
And it's like, so are they trying to? So they're trying to figure out.
They get into an opportunity whereby stealing it suddenly becomes a realistic possibility.
Yeah.
Well, as realistic as one of the main characters, Harry, as far as his brain works.
Yeah.
And then, it's Lady Veronica Lone and her maid Charlotte that are like, what are these guys up to?
So what inspired you to, I mean, that fantastical sort of true story, but
a massive fan of the Robert Downey Sherlock. Like,
yeah.
And when I watched that, I loved like the banter between like Jude Law and Watson, and then like Robert Downey Sherlock. Yeah. And I just thought, I want to write something with that level banter.
Oh,
so that's my benchmark, is to get like the good. You know, he has some amazing lines when he's talking about why he doesn't like horses. He's like dangerous at both ends and crafty in the middle. It's that sort of banter that I wanted
So you love the character work, even though.
I like. Primarily with any kind of like book, if it's character driven, then that's an attraction. It probably attracts me more than plot, although I do think obviously having a good plot is important. I think a character should lead the plot rather than like
completely, because like, people come back for characters, don't they?
Do, and I think that's why you look around here and it's cosplay. I mean, we had a girl from some obscure Korean. I'm going to watch it because she's told me it's good, so I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to watch it. She's dressed up and she's just, I just love this guy. He's a eunuch and he's come back as a ghost, and I'm like, I'm sold. And that just says it all, doesn't it? Like, people love a character. They'll go for a character more than anything, you know, and that character's journey more than any sort of plot-based thing. Like, you can watch things, you know, like really sort of cheesy soaps and stuff, and they're already heavy plot based stuff, but people love soaps and their characters as well.
But I mean, obviously you've got the characters. I see it's volume one.
Yeah.
So is there a
be other volumes. I'm trying to whittle it down because it's expensive. But not at the cost of like the work, but there'll probably be another 3 volumes if I can justify like
doing it. How
long
is this volume?
That's 64 pages.
Nice.
So you're looking at 4 times 64, which means we'll never get our penthouse in the St Kitts or.
So did this launch here, or has this been out for a little while? I mean, this is the first time.
Actually,
that's what I love about this show, because you discover stuff that you never hear before. But
we actually launched. I'm from Glasgow. I know you can hear from my thick Glaswegian accent. I'm from Glasgow. I'm married. My wife's Glaswegian, so I've been living there for years. But obviously, I'm originally from Essex. You never lose the accent. Actually, launched at the Forbidden Planet. Do a small press. Arrange our small press day in Glasgow,
Nice.
Which is like a I call it a desperately underrated event, because you get some amazing stuff there and zero footfall. So it debuted, I actually did all right there, like pretty much sold to most folk that came through the door, but this is the first big con I've ever done, and it's also my first book, so
yeah. How have you found the convention?
Really interesting. You can learn quite a lot of, I think the biggest thing for me is how overwhelming it is, and how you realise how little money you have and space on your shelves for the amount of good stuff that's
It's been nice sometimes. I've been going up the tables and people have said they're sold out of books, which I'm gutted and then pleased because it saved me £25.
I like the mix of it, and I think it's, someone else we were chatting to said it's really, we didn't do Leeds, but someone was saying it's really good, it's all under one. Actually Harrogate, like the worst thing about Harrogate is the parking, but everything else is like,
it's been it's a really nice atmosphere and vibe, isn't it? So where can people get this, because this looks great, so I'm looking forward to reading this.
It's available on Big Cartel. If you just like Google the Bells at Big Cartel,
and that's the Bells with two L's
and an E and an F for any, I don't know, dyslexic.
It's best to spell it.
I have that. So.
It's best to spell it for folks.
So it's available there, and people can just find us on Instagram at the Bells, and the link is in the bio.
As it always is these days.
For a woman over 40, that was a challenge as well. working out Instagram platform. But
Nice. So I'm looking forward to reading it. So go forth and check it out, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'm here with Michael Lohman, who we haven't spoken about since the detective book I reviewed about 4 years ago, I'm saying now. What was that?
He was a blind detective.
That's
all right. Yeah, he's a while back now. Since the blind detective, I had a couple of kids, and I grew up a little bit, and I was like, I want to do a character that can see the world around him a bit more, and so we've gone for something, a kind of epic folktale adaptation saga.
So you've just given me, we chatted yesterday about it, and I said I'll bring it over, and it's Palace of Tears, part one. Mate, this is fucking outstanding. This looks like a Bond S&A book straight out of the gate.
One appreciates the finer European things in life. That is a sketch.
Oh, mate, thank you. Brilliant. Cheers.
It's all right.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So it started off as an old Jewish folktale called The Palace of Tears. And there was a lot of elements in there that I really liked. There was a kind of king who was turned to stone from the waist down. And that had a nice kind of sexual undercurrent. I was like sexual undercurrent. It's not a smut book. It's subtle. It's tasteful. Elegant. There's a lot of kind of Arabian Nights, familiar kind of symbols and characters and adventures going on. But there's always more going on underneath. And if I don't get distracted, putting in extra kind of monsters rising up from the sands out of discarded machinery from civilizations long gone. You see, already it sounds like I've got out of hand, but if I don't put too much of that in, and then I stick to the story, there should be a lot to it.
So. It's lovely, and it's A4, magazine size, and it's full color. How many pages?
40 pages, including cover.
So it is, it's a classic Bond S&A size. Well, if this was a hardback, it would look like something out of a French shop.
It looked like a big bastard, it would look very fine. If anyone's listening and they want to print it in hardback, only the best paper.
Oh, God. to be fair, so where can we get this? Genuinely, of the convention, this is the best book I've seen. The best one I've been shown, man. This is the best thing. Lovely. Yeah, where can we get it?
That's high praise. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So at the moment, I just printed it for Thought Bubble, but, who would have thought there's some left? There's a whole box left. So I'll be taking that back with me to London. It's going to be on my website. My name's Michael Lohman, michaellohman.com. There's only two Michael Lohmans in the world. One of them's in prison, so he can't help you.
He's got a great website, though, I'll tell you that now.
I can't compete with him, So I'm leaning into this microphone, I don't know. I don't have to do that, do I?
It's fine.
You'll be able to buy it from michaellohman.com.
And where are you on social medias?
So I'm also Instagram, Twitter, and also On tapas, I'll be putting up episodes as we go along. So, nice, yeah.
Mate, this is lovely. And I should consider Comic House for this as well.
Yes.
Stick it on there.
I'll have a look. I know you guys, you push the Comic House. I know it's contractual. But no, absolutely, I'll get in touch with those guys. So, yeah.
Thanks, man. Beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
All right, I'm here with this man, this Pete. Pete Taylor.
I do.
A fan of comics, lover of comics,
yeah,
maker of comics, all things comics.
Yeah, yeah, and gorillas.
And gorillas,
and
yes,
monsters.
Because for those who don't know, this is the man that has created the Seven Sagas of Silverbeard, which we talked about on the show. I think, when was the first time? Was it at BAM?
Yes.
Earlier in the year when I first sort of discovered
it. That's right. Yeah, first we had a mock-up on the table.
Yeah, it was interesting. You had like a mock-up because it... For those who don't know, tell us what, before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, what is the Seven Sagas of Silverbeard?
Well, yeah, I'll have to correct you. Technically, I didn't create the Seven Sagas of Silverbeard as...
Are you going to go? I know what's happening right now, but play into it. Go on, let's do it, let's do it. Let's do this, come on.
Let's do it properly. That Silverbeard was a character created by a company called Cat Food Comics in 1967. Cat Food Comics was a company that ran from the mid-60s to the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Not a very successful company. Silverbeard was probably the only breakout character that they created. Because, unfortunately, the paper stock and toxic ink that they used in the production of these comics caused all back issues to slowly disintegrate on the years in between now and then.
Yeah.
So it came to me, the biggest Silverbeard fan... and lover of that particular comic company, to remember and recreate all those stories.
Did he fall into the public domain? Or?
Luckily not. No, he's still very firmly now in my domain.
I mean, what can you say? I mean, because what is Silverbeard?
Silverbeard is a forge god that was betrayed and thrown from heaven, cursed into the form of a gorilla barbarian, and travels the earth seeking revenge against the gods that cursed him. He lives through seven sagas, initially a savage form. He spends his time fighting monsters through the jungle before entering the second saga, which is when he slowly works his way into the world as a thief. His third saga, he enters the wider world as a buccaneer before the heartbreaking events at the end of the Relentless saga cause him to enter his lost period, which is a bit like David Carradine in Kung Fu. He's wandering around, getting into scrapes. He has a couple of coffins.
I just want to applaud you right now, by the way. This is impressive. This is very impressive.
He's got a couple of coffins strapped on his back for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets dragged back in the Merciless Saga to fight in the Squid Wars before becoming a shaman to atone for the atrocities occurring during the Squid Wars. And then finally, the Seventh Saga is the fated monarch, Silverbeard.
It's a barbarian gorilla.
Yeah,
I mean, that's all you need to say. That's what you needed to say, man.
It's already above.
But my God, the lore. The absolute lore of it.
He's also known as the Simian Swashbuckler.
Oh, take my money. Which you did, because this was on Kickstarter and I backed it.
It was Kickstarter.
Yeah.
That whole spiel really was around the book to build the campaign on, essentially. It was to add extra interest to the book. So, you know, I did put it up there, and there was a nice little pithy elevator pitch at the beginning, but then I did add all the other stuff to kind of show what the intention was, really.
Yeah.
I didn't want to start at issue one and then go through all of them.
Because it's consequently an original character, but you've already built this back lore that, like, you can just delve into.
I wanted shortcuts. I didn't want to do issue one.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do... I didn't want to do the same chronological story.
Yeah.
When people do Batman stories, they get to choose which era of Batman they do. They can do the origin, they can do year one, they can do when he first meets Robin, they can do, you know, Dark Knight. Batman Beyond, I wanted to do the same thing. And I didn't want to do him over 25 years. I wanted to pick and choose and bop around.
And so you put together this book, which is a beautiful book. I saw the Kickstarter pledges. It's much. Oversized as well, isn't it? It's not your standard sort of comic. There's lots of different things in it as well. I mean, what's exactly in the book?
Yeah, 44 pages. So we've got about, I think, 24 pages of that is comics. So that's two adventures. I've written both of them. I drew the first one, and my partner in crime, Mark Hughes, drew the second one. And then surrounding that, we've got, I think, 8 pages of gallery with top pros and indie artists. So we've got Russell Mark Olson, Jim Mahfood, Nick Prolix, Nick Brokenshire, Demetrius Zach.
Wow, that's a murderer's row of... I think that's the second time I've used the phrase murderer's row today.
Rogues gallery, almost. Yeah.
You know, quite literally.
Warwick, Johnson Cadwell, Nick Brokenshire. I think the only one I mentioned, my daughter. I kept it in the family as well. Both my daughters have got work in there.
Nice.
My wife's... Oh, the letters page.
Yeah.
So my two pages
of letters. Love a letters page.
Lots of, letters from... Well, we got Tom Stewart on there as well, and Mike from the podcast, Ian from the podcast, the Lakes Festival podcast. So they've joined into, the whole play, and they've written about their memories or...
That's amazing.
It's one... Once you've got into it, basically I'm substituting everyone's memories of their favourite comics, and you just substitute Silverbeard for it, and it works.
Yeah.
You know, some of the stories in the letters page are me by being lucky enough to buy Daredevil number one in an antiques fair and being over the moon.
Yeah.
So I write about that and I change it to buying Silverbeard number one. So, and then there's a mock-up of an ad that I used for the Kickstarter campaign as well. We produced some little paper toys called beer trucks, sort of wide versions of the characters, paper templates. So I put those in the magazine as a mock-up ad. And I think there's a page with some original art that was found.
There's so much going on. It's, it's proper value for money.
It's just built, building like...
And now you can...
The stuff that used to be in a comic.
Yeah.
And you would learn about your favourite characters sometimes on a letters page or on a bulletin page or even a list of some of the comics that you would read. You go through going, I've read Captain America, read The Hulk, I've never read Spectacular Spider-Man Omega the Unknown. What the hell is Omega the Unknown? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So dropping in different characters that they've, that I've created into that universe as well.
And it's a beautiful looking book.
Thank you.
And obviously you're getting the Kickstarter pledges out at the moment.
I'm about a third of the way through. So most of the first tier have gone. So I'm working my way through. Got a few sketches to do for the top tier. But all going out. I purposely put down November as expected delivery. I think I should be able to make that, certainly for the UK and Europe.
And where can people? I mean, if people missed out on the campaign,
where
will people be able to get hold of it or find out more?
It's on Big Cartel, so it's silverbeard.co.uk. It'll take you straight to the Big Cartel. Or the actual Kickstarter page, even though you can't pledge to it anymore, it has all of that information that I was just talking about. So it's got some shots of old Cat Food Comics covers.
Nice, so you can actually see for yourself.
So you can still use the Kickstarter page. And then there's a link at the top to the Big Cartel.
Yeah.
So if you search Silverbeard on Kickstarter, that'll give you the bigger story as well.
Nice. And if they want to follow you, where can they find you, etc.?
I'm This Man, This Pete on Instagram and Twitter, and I don't really go on Facebook.
He tells it like it is. He's very truthful, apart from when it comes to his comics, which are a complete lie.
Yes, it's true. Complete falsehood.
Yeah.
No, I am on... Oh, Cat Food Comics is on Facebook.
There you go.
Facebook.com/CatFoodComics and CatFood_comics on Instagram. That's where we've started to build up the fictional... Oh, did I say fictional? The history of Cat Food Comics, which was actually based on a cab company called Cat Food Cabs that initially created a little pamphlet to advertise their cab company. And I'll just stop.
You're making comics and you're having fun with it. And I love it, man. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Vince. Thanks.
Right, I'm here with a creator that I've just spoken about on the last episode.
Umar Ditta.
Yes.
The writer of the newly released Lad, The Homecoming.
Yes, that's me.
How has your thought bubble been?
It's been great. It's been great. It's different, obviously. New venue, new location, everything. Yeah. But it's still got its thought bubble vibe, which I like.
Yeah, there's a real positivity,
Oh, yeah.
Did you table last year? Have you tabled?
I've been tabling ever since my other book, Untethered, came out.
Yeah.
Third one just wrapped up this year. So we've done 1, 2, and 3. I've been tabling ever since 2017 with Elliot Bolson, the artist of Untethered. And it's been good every year. Every year I've been getting, you know, more sales, more people knowing me and stuff. It's been awesome.
I think when people keep seeing your face, they're like, oh yeah, I remember seeing you last year.
And the stuff I do on the dance floor also helps, because apparently I love the mid-com party.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about sort football.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I mean, obviously you've got the book Lad, The Homecoming, which is your big thing for this year.
Yeah.
How's that been? Because you're just... Kickstarter pledges at the moment, isn't it?
It's just been sorted. It's been a while, right? Because like some of my other books have been coming out and people have been saying, oh yeah, it's been really good, it's been really good, really want to check it out. But then people who like have no right to say it's good or anything like that, people, I'm like, you don't have to say it's great or anything. Like, oh, it's amazing, it's really good. And I'm like, who's paying you? I'm like, because you know I wrote it, and like, but it's all down to everyone. Like Hugo doing the editing, Carlos is oh my god, and like Kerry with the lettering, and obviously Devil putting it all together.
It all comes together
just
really
amazing,
nicely.
The feedback I've been getting is amazing.
What inspired the story? Ooh. I mean, without going into spoilers, because it's a bit of a mystery as well.
Okay, what happened is I think it's called You Were Never Really Here or Never Really There with Joaquin Phoenix. Really love that film. I'm watching it, and also before that, I was watching Blue Ruin. Which is really, I love that short film. I was like, I want to do something like that in a comic book.
Oh, wow.
That's what really inspired it. And initially, I had like an idea of like a one shot of, like a gangster thing in a room, really make it taut and everything like that. And I was like, maybe that might work. But then as I unpacked it a bit more, I was like, no, I want it to be big. I want it to be more. Dead Man's Shoes was another influence that came in.
I love that film.
I want to use that gritty and all that stuff, but without going overboard.
And also, it feels very English as well. I mean, for those who don't know, what's the basic premise?
The basic premise is about a crime family based, like I said, in England, but I didn't want it to be specific to a time or a location, that was surrounded by this large sort of mythical forest.
Yeah.
And where the forest is it's a place where no crime family member wants to go or is allowed to go, but then due to like a transgression with no spoilers, but something known as a hermit within the forest that sort of causes a chain reaction of bigger things.
Right,
so it's really like dark and really just getting into
weirdness going on. Some of it felt quite supernatural to me. But I'm not giving away anything more than that.
That's
good. And that's what I love about it, because I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
It was interesting as well, like the characters. I mean, so far from issue one, they don't have names. They're like dad, the lad, the elder uncle.
Yeah.
What inspired that choice?
That was because whenever you see like a crime like movie, like Godfather, anything like that, you're like, oh, to say it's a family, I'm like, why not have an actual family? But just to give it that extra twinge of like surrealness is they're not actually a blood family, but they're sort of family that is just in name. Let's take it from that. So that's the thing. Oh, okay, well, that was a mild spoiler, but that's what I sort of left to the sort of like the reader to see themselves of like, are they related? Are they not related? Because there's also a character called Duckworth, which is just to sort of throw him off. Which who's
is that after Coronation Street?
Yeah, exactly. It's based on a law firm near my hometown called Duckworth. And I said that's a stupid ass name. I like it. The character himself, I based it over. The character's name is Steve Fleming in The Thick of It. He's the guy who was in Thin Blue Line, and what I've done is, what I loved about him, he was calm and he's cool, but he's an absolute psychopath. He just explodes, Peter Capaldi's character, Malcolm Tucker.
Yeah.
He was just angry all the time. Yeah. You know what he got. But what I love about Steve Fleming,
and therefore insanely quotable because
But his counterpart was that calm, and then he explode beyond, like go to 11.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's who I want. That's nice. What I wanted.
Nice, yeah. Nice. So obviously you've got the Kickstarter. I mean, what's the future for Lad? You know, what's the plan for the next? Because this is a mini-series.
So what I've got planned is, well, we want to... Well, issue 3 has been scripted. I'm getting ahead of the curve. I'm looking to finish off the book as soon as I can.
Yeah.
So obviously what the plan is, hopefully some point in the next year or something akin to that, we have going to go for a full graphic novel in Kickstarter. Wow. I'm just going to go for it, because instead of like a yearly release like I did with Untethered, it's like to do a full graphic novel. That's plan A, but we do have plan Bs and some things can happen.
So basically, if people just stay tuned to you on social media, so you can post it. I mean, you come out of the gate firing on all cylinders with this, and I think it's just going to be you get a lot of feedback over the next like, few months and stuff. But no, well done on it, dude. Oh, I mean, if people want to know more about it and the rest of your books, like where can they find you who missed out on the Kickstarter, where can they get it?
What I'm planning to do is in the next month or so is put it on. Like my website, where you can buy it on Gumroad and maybe even Comic House as well, just on all platforms.
Oh, nice.
But it would be in the next, I say, month or so, because obviously I'm thinking about doing it over into the new year when things have calmed down a little bit.
It's good. Like you want to get those Kickstarters sorted, pledged. The people who pledge, you're sorting them out.
Absolutely. Obviously, no point going ahead when I haven't even done the first part. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, absolutely.
No, it's just great comics here.
Yeah.
Seamless. I suck on my
pants. It was. Effortless.
And you've seen it face to face.
Yes. There was no editing on that part. Continue.
No, it's great stuff, man. So where can people find you on like social media?
Exactly? You can find me on Twitter. It's my name, UMARDITTA.
Nice.
Umadutta, together. That's how it is, That's how it is.
Yeah.
And on Instagram, you'll probably see me, but mostly it'll be my vain gym pictures there.
Nice.
Which I do like that.
I mean the dude is stacked.
I've got to build my confidence somehow, because I don't get confidence from my writing, even though people say it's good, so I've got to go
dude,
to the gym.
You will now you're going to become a slob.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a million selling writer. That's where it's going to be, dude. You're the next George R.R. Martin.
I can go for that. That'd be alright.
That's one way of selling out.
Absolutely.
But thanks, dude.
No worries. Anytime. Really appreciate it. Cheers, man.
Here with Nikki. Nikki Draws. Oh, no, I didn't get a badge for you either, did I?
No.
Do you officially hate me, or?
It's close.
Okay, good. Yeah.
You're still
tweet police. We got a nice Hilda model last time. So
this is Ian, by the way.
Ian, hello.
Ian and Nikki in. Yeah, he's elbowing in it, because you're the star, really, of the group, aren't you?
That's entirely, you know.
I reviewed your books recently. So, Anxiety Me, Leaf, and I'm blanking Moon. So, you've got quite a quiet, gentle style.
Yes.
Did you do art school and all that sort of thing?
No, not at all. I did GCSE art, I got a B.
Good.
And that's it. But I've always drawn.
Right,
so
okay.
Yeah, I just carried on. It's because of Ian that I went into this, really.
What, into comics, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because it's a recent thing, is it? So.
Yeah, because I've only been doing it for how many years
now? Well, it's through the podcast that gave you that drive and it's the Legs Festival scene, the live draws, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Please tell me if I'm wrong. But,
so people that don't know who are listening to, you two run the Lakes Festival podcast, second best podcast in the country. you got it. So you help organise, or you assist with and you watch some live drawing at the festival, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why did that become a comic? Why did you think I'm going to do that?
I'm
glad you did. I'd like to say that. I'm not going anywhere else with this.
Don't be mean to me. No, I just wanted to get my story across. And I thought I could do it in a way that would appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why, and also why I didn't do any wording in it.
Yeah.
One reason was because I didn't know how. But the other reason was because I thought I could get it across in pictures, like an animation almost. And that's what I tried to get across.
Because you're an animation fan, aren't you? So you're like a Ghibli fan.
Total Ghibli fan. Yeah. I wanted to get that kind of peaceful idea across in the actual pictures.
Yeah. So this is quite a nice little success story. So you started making comics, you made Anxiety Me, which is very well received.
Yep.
Then you did Leaf for Little Heroes?
Yes, for them.
And then you did Moon recently, which is kind of it's got
like
a negative space thing, isn't it?
Yes. I've done it in black and white watercolours, and it changes to blue when the moon becomes full.
Yeah.
But I kind of did it as a follow-on from Anxiety Me in a way, because it's the same character.
There you go. Ian told me he's so like the Debbie McGee. He's so the Debbie McGee.
That works so well in audio, doesn't it?
No, it's really nice. Yeah, but it's a gentle style you've got. Yeah. I was going to ask you, so it's watercolours?
Yeah.
Just completely watercolours? Or?
I mean, there's some. I had a white pen just to try and help it out a bit. Yeah. But that ran out halfway through.
So no penciling, no inking, purely...
There's watercolour. There is a bit of white pencil just, again, to pick out some details.
Okay, cool.
So, but there's watercolour pencils I'm used.
Yeah, I must get into them. I bought some recently. So I've started drawing things like turnips.
Yes, they're brilliant.
It's just me and a load of ladies of a certain age who just like try to talk saucily to me. I'm not having it.
They try and talk saucily.
Yeah, they're not made of stone. Anyway, so what's next, Nikki? Come on, what's... are we allowed to say what's next? You have told me secretly. I just wonder whether...
Have
you not announced it? The thing about the...
The thing about
where I live...
You have talked about that on the podcast.
The graphic novel. I can say about that. Okay. So I'm doing a huge, huge graphic novel, an autobiography of my life with little anecdotes through it, really. But I'm going to do another kids' book as well. So I'm going to try and alternate up.
Back for Fair Spark or just generally?
I don't know. We'll see how it turns out, really. Yeah. So I'm doing it a bit differently because I'm going to do it with a collage effect. So it's going to be about a little bookworm. So I was going to rip up books for the background.
Nice, so it's sort of a multimedia thing.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and do a bit differently this time.
Do you know Sarah Harris? Have you met Sarah?
Naming's
well. Pink hair. She did the middle story in the Hall Chronicles with me.
I do know her.
Yeah.
I've never actually met her.
Yeah, she's here somewhere. I introduced her here, but she's very sort of multimedia, so her approach on that, she uses paper and the words and stuff.
Brilliant.
Yeah, no, you should have, Oh, that's interesting. So when's the planned release?
I haven't even storyboarded it out yet.
So, Christmas?
Next year.
I was meant to ask you too. So you do a comics podcast. Do you buy each other comics for Christmas?
I have. Yes, I do. I bought a few actually, but don't tell him.
I'm trying to think if I have. No, I don't think I bought you.
No, you don't
comics.
Buy me anything. He doesn't buy me anything. I mean, like I say, I'm still waiting.
You're lucky enough as it is, Nikki.
Is this the package?
Yeah.
This is the whole package, is it? Who did I annoy in life?
I'll tell you what, though, rather than comics, you buy you art or
you
prints.
You do buy me art.
Like one of your lovely Jonathan Edwards original was just...
Yeah.
That's like, look how good I am. Here's an original piece of art.
But you can go down a rabbit hole of art kit as well, can't you? Buying loads of pens and brushes and can you? Yeah.
I won't even dare buy you any sort of brushes.
I just tell you.
I won't have a clue what to
buy. Like you sent me your Warhammer list of models you want.
I've not got a problem.
I've heard about this Warhammer thing. Yeah.
It's a problem.
I went in a Warhammer shop with my son once and they took it far too seriously. Mm. And they started talking to me as if they were in the battle. And I said to my son, I'm going to leave way outside for you. And I left him in
there. Sure I've seen Dan looking at some of these on plastic crack rocks.
There's a guns character, you can paint him.
It's great fun.
I think so. Artistic. You need that little bit in your life though, don't you, sometimes the art in your life, I think.
Anything you can get older from, just to chill.
Yeah.
It's all about chilling.
So where can we find you online?
I don't know.
No, good.
Do I have to do this for you?
I need an underscore under the right bit, you see.
www.nickydraws.pictures.
Oh, that's my website.
Oh, we've got a website.
I've got a website.
Have you
never been to my website?
No, I must go there.
Yes, you must.
And Nikki_draws.
It is underscore, isn't it? Yeah.
On Twitter.
Oh, good. I follow you. We're best friends on Twitter, aren't we?
Of course
we are. Best buddies.
Yeah.
And essentially just search Nikki Draws.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Never search Nikki's Draws.
No, don't do that.
Because that's the difference. So,
That's her other account. I look after that one.
I sell on Etsy on that one as well, don't I?
And you're at Ian's Underpants.
Yeah.
You can buy them.
Ian Stains.
And where can we get the podcast?
Comic Art Festival podcast.uk.
Cool.
Just go there and we'll
link to
and everything's there. That's the easiest way of doing it.
Good. This has been marvellous.
Thank you very much.
I'm that is the sigh of someone that's had the table next to me. My table buddy, Amanda Eleanor Tribble, has been actually star for the weekend. How has your weekend been?
It's been good. It's been really good. I've had a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's been good.
Yeah, and it's been fairly constant for the whole weekend, isn't it? Saturday and Sunday.
It's been really busy. I think the venue change has actually really worked out. I know a couple of people were worried about it, but I think it's been really good. It's nice to have it all under one roof again.
And I did notice that you've had many a Star Wars conversation this weekend.
So many Star Wars conversations.
Which you've been loving.
Oh, yeah, I have loved it. That is, my main jam right now.
For anyone wondering, she's currently wearing a Star Wars Christmas jumper.
Yep.
Which is amazing.
Yes, yes, yes. Not into the Christmas season, but very much into the Star Wars season.
Yeah, yeah. And it's out at Christmas this year, so...
Yeah.
Win-win.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're a bit of a fan of Wedge Antilles.
Wedge Antilles, yes, the pilot from the original trilogy who makes the Death Star runs, who may or may not be back in Episode 9. We shall wait and see.
I feel like, you know, if he's not, we may need to counsel her. Yeah, so stay tuned. But you've had your books at the table as well, and like you've sold a few of them.
Yep.
So what have you got?
I've got issues 1 to 3 of Paranormal Investigators, which is the webcomic I run, which is magic and mystery and what it says on the tin. They're investigators. Yeah. They investigate the paranormal.
Yeah.
It's also set in the future because why not?
Why not? You just make life easy for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've got an old one-shot I did called The Legend of Ida Penmagley, which is magic and mystery in a small town.
Yeah.
That's done quite well because I think people like a self-contained story.
Yes. And what was the other one that made Fly?
The We Can Fly Anything is just the Star Wars zine. It's just got pilots then.
But you've shifted a few of them.
I have, because apparently there are a few people out there who also like Star Wars pilots.
Really?
Yes, apparently.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, where can people find you online to, like, see more? Or just to tell you, it'll be fine because you've had to spend the weekend with me.
My website is www.amandaeleanorart.co.uk. That's Eleanor with only one E.
You sound like you've had to say that several times.
Yes, because my parents spelled it weirdly. It's very annoying. Most of the time you find me on Twitter yelling about Star Wars. At Yunmin, which is Yunmin.
Nice. And you should definitely check out her work because like she's got loads of Star Wars prints. If you want to talk about Star Wars, this is the person to go to.
Yeah. Always happy to talk about Star Wars.
Unless you're going to say, I don't like Wedge Antilles.
In which case, I will endeavour to try and change your mind.
Oh, well, you heard it here. Right, I threatened to get him when he was hungover, but now he's recovered. It's Dave Clifford. How are you, sir?
I'm better now.
Yeah?
Yeah, yourself?
I'm just coming to the end of the day. I thought, Bubbles, you've had a whole day to recover from your wild escapades involving...
I lost my publishers and I ended up with Glenn and all that from the Norwegian crew and...
The Norwegian crew. I feel there's a story there that could be a comic book in the future. but today, or this weekend, you launched something else, didn't you?
We did. We launched New Seven Shades, entitled Hell's Bells. It's a new one-shot, which bridges the gap between the last 4-issue miniseries and the next one, which we're working on right now.
You do not stop, dude. And it looks glorious, I must say.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
How's the actual con been for you in the launch?
Very good. Very good. There's been a very good response.
Yeah. Did you actually have original art on your table as well?
You sold
a few pieces?
Yeah, but they've had a lot of interest in that. We've sold quite a few pages today.
Because you paint, don't you?
Yeah.
You do a bit of everything. I mean, I've seen your original pages. I remember we talked about Seven Shades on the pod and like how you can actually see the texture of the canvas on the... I love all of that. And you can definitely see, because obviously you did Dexter's Half Dozen as well, you do that. But it's a different type of artwork.
Yeah.
Seven Shades, isn't it? I mean, you can still tell it's you, but...
I mostly did it to see if I could, in all honesty.
And now you're doing a second series, so that's it. You've just gotten carried away, basically.
Pete and I have got a set series. Basically, it's going to be 7 story arcs for Seven Shades. And it's going to be a 4-issue miniseries followed by a single one-shot, followed by a 4-issue miniseries followed by a one-shot. So essentially 4 series and 3 one-shots.
Amazing. And it's not safe for work, but you definitely need to check it out because it's like a supernatural messed up sort of Western, isn't it?
Yeah, we've just had one review through, which came through on Saturday on the journey up here, and they described it as a hellbilly spaghetti western with dark supernatural undertones.
So now you're taking that and you're using it for all your promotion?
I'd be rude not to.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, we've talked about it on the pod, but for those who don't know where to get it, I mean, where can people get hold of it or see your original pages?
On the Dead Star publishing website, all the issues are available, and... Yeah. I think the Hell's Bells issue came up for pre-order a few weeks ago.
Always going to happen.
wait
for the round of applause in a minute.
Yeah. And we're going to be... I'll let them get it over.
I mean, this is just because we're talking to Dave.
Yeah.
Well, timing's lousy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, you're hearing it live and direct. That's how much people love you, Dave.
It's all for me. All for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, where can people get this stuff?
I've forgotten now. You can get the issues from Dead Star Publishing. They do it as a bundle as well, if that's any help for those who want it. And I think they've got a bundle where you get all the e-books in with the physical copies as well.
Yeah.
And the new one-shot has just gone live, I think, on their website this weekend. And I believe next weekend we are at Birmingham. With the new comic as well. So.
Oh, amazing! So go forth and check. Yeah, and you're on social media, etc.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
And where can people find that? You can't remember right now, can you?
Just look for David Clifford, I think.
Well, we love your stuff, dude. Thank you. And you'll find his name in the show notes. So thank you very much, Dave.
Yeah, no, thank you very much.
I'm here with the marvellous Alan Henderson of The Penned Gwyn. Is it Gwyn or Gwyn's?
Gwyn. It's funny Gwyn. Little stories about funny little penguins.
You're doing that on purpose because Alan's been my table neighbour for the whole weekend. We've been keeping each other sane. He's been bullying me, and I've heard that pitch many, many times. You are an absolute beast.
But you have to get
people, in a good way.
You've got to get the people to come to the table.
And it's been working. You've been drawing people in like...
No, I've had a really successful weekend.
Yeah.
So, no, I cannot complain at all.
I've seen you sign an awful lot of your bigger books as well. Because you've got several different sizes of books, aren't you? Because the Penguins, for those who don't know it, shame on you if you don't. Go on, do the pitch.
Well, it's a daily web strip that's been running for 6.5 years now.
Yeah.
So there's about 1,600 plus strips up online. And it comes in a variety of sizes on the table, from the A5 100-page books that are the collections as it goes along, to the A4 Treasury books, which are collecting together 500-plus strips each time.
Yeah.
So it's a good mix.
Well, you got a nice selection of stuff, as well as your prints and your T-shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
And you've been like busy, and people have been coming over all weekend. What have you made of the weekend?
I think the new location's great, actually.
Yeah.
I think the layout all under the one roof is much better.
Yeah.
One or two teething issues in terms of some of the size of some of the corridors and stuff, but I think they'll work that out for next year. I don't think there's any real problems.
Yeah. Oh, nice to meet you.
Nice to know that.
Wow, Alan. What
don't know where we were. But
we don't know where we were, but.
Things are so good that people are still coming to our table.
It was a very pleasant interruption, and seeing the shame on the poor man's face.
I made a sale while you were speaking to him. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was
you do not stop, man. You're an absolute monster, in the best kind of way.
Yeah.
So,
I did get to call out the fact that I'm not Dan.
Yeah.
And we're still waving to people who are waving to us as a good man.
You've really got a multitasker, haven't you? Especially when you've got a microphone in your
and
face.
And I think that's what people forget about, how tiring it is when you're just standing for 2 days and you're scanning the crowd and doing the mental agility of just saying, who am I speaking to, what am I, I do want to apologise to several people who came up to me and said hello, Alan, and I chatted to them for ages and I just have no idea who they were.
No, there's too many people. There's
several
things.
Of those.
It's been
a great show.
And the Penguins is going strong. And
it is. I'm pacing myself for getting the next book out. Little Kickstarter, late January, beginning of February time. I didn't see the point in rushing it for this, and there's no point in putting anything out in December because people have got other things on their mind.
Yeah.
It'll keep going and keep going strong.
And you're still going to be doing the strips every day, so where can people go to find
Just go into any form of social media and go at Penned Gwyn, and they'll find it there. And that's the best way.
Like, you've also done exhibitions as well, haven't you?
I did an exhibition at the start of this year up in Edinburgh, where we hired a small gallery and put on a show with about 40 of the strips up on the walls, and a variety of other things.
Great as well, seeing those in frames.
It was from actual personal perspective, when they were up on the wall, it was a really different experience to go, I did that, and a really proud moment of going, this actually looks really nice. And it was a really good experience from getting people to come and see the art and actually be involved in it, where if I'd said, oh, I'm putting a comic show on, nobody would have come, or none of these people would have come. seeing, oh, I'm putting on an art gallery, suddenly the number of people that came out the woodwork said, oh, I'll come along. And you're like going, it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
That's up on the walls. So no,
that's cool.
I highly recommend anybody doing that. If you can get a small pop-up location, put on your little art gallery show yourself and say, this is my stuff, this is me, this is my art.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, and I say, I wouldn't actually class it as a comic thing. Say, it is my art thing.
Yeah.
You will get different people that come to it, and they will, the audience is out there. It's just about getting to them.
Yeah. And you'll get to them in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And I love it. And it's been a joy, sir.
We will, no, and it's been fun. And it's, you know, and have I heard, I understand you know people.
We'll talk off air.
Okay.
Right, I'm sneaking in one last interview at Thought Bubble, and I've been meaning to get it all day, but it's been a busy day. I'm here with Aisling Larkin from The Chip Collective. Hello.
Hello.
How has your Thought Bubble been?
It's been amazing. It's been a really great first ever Thought Bubble.
It's your first ever Thought Bubble?
Selling, yeah, yeah.
So you visited a few times.
I visited a couple of times, but this is the first time we've had like a full table, and it's been really, really great.
Yeah. And I noticed... you're under the Chip Collective, and you were telling me a bit... I mean, I picked up one of your books earlier, and we'll talk about that in a sec, but what exactly is the Chip Collective?
So Chip stands for Comics Help Inform People, and our mission is to basically just get information across in a friendly and accessible way, and comics is the perfect medium to do that. So our first comic tackles the subject of cancer, which is, you know, a very difficult subject to talk about, but having it in this format... means that it's much easier to take in that information, much friendlier to approach.
Yeah, and it's a lovely looking book. I mean, Living with Cancer, Our Stories, is the book that I picked up at the show. And you got lots of fantastic creators in it. Was it a Kickstarter book?
We used Kickstarter to fund the creation of the book, to pay the artists, get the books printed and sent out to everyone so that we could make it a non-profit project. So any sales that we make from the book now, all of the proceeds go to Cancer Research UK.
Oh, that's amazing. So, I mean, I think a lot of people know someone who's been touched by this. So, it's obviously clearly a very personal book and probably quite an emotional book. And, have you found since it's been released, is this the first sort of show you've had
out? Yeah, this is, I guess, technically the launch of the book, yes. But the response so far has been really, really great. Oh, brilliant.
And also, you've got other books and creations as well. Yeah, I mean, there's loads of amazing stuff on this table. But I thought with this book itself, I thought I had to talk to Aisling. So I mean, we'll have to get you on the show properly to talk about it.
Because
obviously you've got quite a few creators. But where can people find out more about you guys?
So on social media, we are just under Chip Collective. We've also got an email that you can contact us at chipcollective@gmail.com.
Amazing. And, she's actually stopped packing up to talk to me. So she's obviously an angel in disguise. So, thank you very much. And, good luck with the rest of your shows.
Thank you so much.
What have you got coming up? Have you got any more conventions coming up in the new year?
We haven't got anything else planned. We have got a Makers for Maggie's Christmas Fair going on in Dundee on the 8th of December. But for the rest of this year, I think this is our last, big convention.
So if you're in Dundee, go check them out, folks.
Thank you so much.
And there you have it.
That's what it be. Thought Bubble.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone that took time to chat to us. There was lots of people that we were sort of lining up to have a chat to, but some of them were just too damn busy all the time.
They just didn't get to people.
Sounded fucking amazing on social media the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Really good.
It was good, but if you weren't a Thought Bubble, it wasn't that good. Don't worry about it.
I didn't miss anything. Just the big first year of the new venue. It's fine.
But overall, you know, just in terms of the venue and everything, once again, final sign off to everyone that organised Thought Bubble. You did a cracking job.
We'll be back next year.
Next year. So if you'll have
there's
us,
a little whisper that it's going to be at the same venue, so that's cool.
Brilliant.
Yep. And if you need a If you need a panel or two.
Do we know? You're talking cocaine. It's, why are you sniffing like that?
Well, you know, I'm, just making, I'm making that just... bubble money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, we'd be great to do a panel.
We yeah.
We'd be brilliant on a panel.
But don't pick us up too much, Tony. Some people have actually been to our panel, so we have evidence to the contrary.
We're better since that time I was off my nut and you just turned to me and went, I feel like we're in a car going off a cliff and it's on fire.
On the flip side, the panel we did at Leamington.
That's
was
good.
It Leamington? That was fucking great. Yeah.
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 Standing room only. There was
because there was no
one
seats.
Person. Yeah, one person laughed.
Some woman brought her kids in and that confused us. We're befuddled about what we should say.
Yeah.
Isn't that in the rider? I said, Nana. That was a child abuse joke there.
So. Oh, Jesus Christ.
By the way, I know we can't say what it was, but that joke you sent us this week on the WhatsApp was fucking gold, my friend.
Oh, yes. That was just a flash of inspiration. I'd like 5 minutes and then Photoshop.
Nice Photoshop skills there as well.
Thank you.
And you will never know, people, because we want Dan Butcher out of prison.
Yeah.
It was just someone's logo put on a multiply layer and someone's T-shirt.
Yeah, and... someone quite dodgy, their T-shirt. Older man.
it's a good show.
Got jewellery, yeah.
But seriously, if you want a highbrow panel at Thought Bubble, we'll be available. So... with T-shirt cannons. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, folks. We've got a couple of shout-outs. We're not going to do... next week, we'll be back onto the normal format, and we've got a great guest lined up. So we've got a couple of shout-outs first, haven't we?
Yeah. So I just want to shout-out a book that was the talk of the festival, which I haven't finished writing, to be fair. I said to you guys I might do it in the shout-outs because I'm just so in love with it, but I'm not ready to do it yet. I think it's going to need more detail than we give in shout-outs, and that's Andromeda by Z. Burney, which is a hardback book that everyone was talking about and you need to get your hands on. But I'll give it a bigger, deeper dive. It'll either be on the blog or it'll be... I'll talk about it next week. Yeah. But talk about Black and White is Jodorowsky.
I knew nothing about it until Hugo Boylan told me all about it at the MidCon party. And it was sold out by the time I got to the table, which I'm gutted about.
Oh, shame.
The geezer came to the table and he said, I've used the spine... of the sort of the trade dress for Geish, one of our No Brad books, as an inspiration for this. And I said, oh, can I see your book? And I literally, Lucy was standing next to me and she went, oh, wow. And because I knew she wanted it, I went, how much do you want for this, mate? And I bought it off him straight away. And what a nice guy. Yeah, top stuff.
Yeah.
Little shout out to Jason Wilson and Carl Staines for, they talked to me. I felt a bit bereft this weekend because I wasn't at a comic convention. And Jason messaged me, saying, I'm going to the Dark Fest horror convention in the East End tomorrow. Do you want to come along? And I said, yeah, all right, I've not done a horror convention before. So I went along and met Kenneth Cranham and Carolyn Munro, who was just delightful, just brilliant. I had a photograph with her, which I've sent to all my mates, and told them this is the new lineup for Doctor Who. I bought Brazilian Planet of the Apes. That's good, isn't it? I've yet to watch it. I think we're all going to watch it. I think Jason bought Turkish Exorcist. That's class. Yeah.
What can you say?
You could do a screening at Troops.
You could do, yeah.
Friday.
Either that or Condor Man. I know it's better. And then Brazilian Pantheos. And then we watched a horror film, a Hammer horror on the big screen. It was like a fucking lovely day. They even bought, there were some comics for sale. Bought a Professionals Annual. Yeah, it's good stuff. Nice. And my other one is it's the Comic Mart on the 1st of December, Royal National Hotel, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. I'm going to be going. A load of other people are going. If you're going to go, come along and say hello. It's the last Mart of the year, and I don't think there's one till February off the top of my head. So I'm going to go along and buy a load of 1988 Checkmate, which I'm trying to buy up.
Oh, brilliant. There you go. That's for the lady named BJ.
Yeah, that's it. That's the secretary. The secretary at Checkmate HQ is called BJ. Yeah. Which Bullock, even that's funny, keeps saying, hey, BJ. Yeah.
And you laugh every time, don't you?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. So and Dan laughed.
Not now, I'm just washing my hands. Or something like
that. You guys got any?
Yes. A week after the Comic Mart, December the 7th, Saturday, December the 7th, is the next BAM Comic Art and Zine Fair.
Yes.
Taking place at the Comedia in Bath, my home turf. There's a bunch of great indie creators that are going to be there. It's taking place at 11 till 3:30, so a proper sort of like zine fair kind of time.
That's very specific.
Yeah. Well, it's during the Christmas markets as well, so...
I'm getting in early, man. So, last year was a fucking mess.
Yeah, so if you're going to go, go early. Get there early. Get there for, you know, have a bit of breakfast, then come see us at 11 o'clock in the Comedia in Bath. It's
you
free
bought me
entry.
Tea last time, because you told me you're the sheriff of Bath.
I am.
You bought me tea, do you remember?
Yeah.
Did nice. I? Yeah. Went to that fish and chip place, remember?
Oh, yeah, that was lovely. Yeah, but it's free entry. And there's some great indie creators there, you know, whether it be zine makers, comic book makers, you know. It's a great little event, and you should definitely check it out. It'll be my last one of the year. I think it for a lot of people.
And me.
Yeah. So Tony's going to be there because you're going to be there with TWC, aren't you?
The special stuff, which we did a few signings. A few people came to the table and went, oh, would you mind signing the special stuff?
Yeah.
The Thought Bubble. And
one
Sarah
of the
was
ongoing
there,
jokes, actually, was every time... And Amanda was laughing constantly because people would walk up and just go, sorry, mate, have you got any special stuff? And I'd have to go under the table to get the brown paper bag with Tony's comic in.
That's brilliant.
Our comic.
Yeah. I mean, we've built up this real sort of like sordid and dirty reputation for it, but it's actually a genuinely thought-provoking comic.
So Sarah did some signings, actually. She was at the table and I was signing. I went, this is the artist. So she was doing a few signings. Quite nice. Yeah. I wrote something rude about you in the mall, actually, which is what I do.
Yeah, it is what you do, actually. I don't know how to stop it.
You can't.
No.
So definitely make it over to BAM and follow them on Twitter at BAM_fair to find out more. We're going to be updating the blog and stuff, and you know Rachel and the other team have been working very hard on making another fantastic event. So yeah, stay tuned. Dan, do you have any shout outs?
I met Tony during the week and he gave me 2 Nobrow books, which I'm eternally grateful
for.
Didn't
we? A little bro coffee. Yeah.
Birchfield Close by John McNaught, which I'm told is quite hard to get hold of nowadays, and The New Ghost by Robert Hunter, which are both absolutely fantastic. I love them.
Yeah, it's lovely, that little Birchfield Close book, isn't it?
Yes, it's really nice.
Yeah, I got you one, Vince, didn't I?
Yeah,
remember I bought them Hellcav because they're about to sell out. Yeah, I've got you both a copy. Yeah.
Really lovely book. So there you go, folks. That was our show. Do we have anything else to mention before we sign off this week? I don't think we do we?
I don't think so.
No, that's it.
No, but next week we're going to have some fantastic recommendations, a fantastic guest that we're going to announce over the next couple of days, and we hope you enjoyed our little interviews and a general thought bubble chit chat. Definitely, it's a recommendation from us. So if you can make it, then next year, then I think it's going to be even bigger and even better.
Mm-hmm. Thought of a shout out.
Go, Dan. Go
on the Awesome Comics group. We're doing the Secret Santa art swap.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
So if you're part of that, you've got to sign up. Essentially, you put your name in. Brandon's going to, like, give you someone to draw for and someone to draw for you. And then Christmas Eve, we share it all on the thread and you get a lovely piece of artwork.
Yeah.
Get behind that, guys. There's not enough people involved in that one yet. There's quite a few, but
I need to jump into the ring for that. I don't
see last year. It was great because on Christmas Eve, people were posting up artwork that they'd done for someone else, and you say, "Oh, can you send this to me?" And more than happy to do stuff like that.
Big shout out to Brandon for organising it like that.
Yeah, he's always good chatting.
And we hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I say, if you've got any, if maybe there's some other little comic events happening before Christmas that you want people to know about, you know, these little zine fairs and stuff like that, please let us know and we'll put a shout out. So, you know, you never know. You never know who's listening to this show. It constantly surprises us. Email us details at awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if we got anything wrong or we missed out something, or maybe we just... You just want to talk to us about how your day was. No, don't send those sort of emails. But yeah, definitely get in touch with us, and you can follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod, where we go. We've got a few interesting shows coming up on the rundown to the new year.
Talking about them. There's good ones.
We're prepping stuff to have some sort of audience participation. So stay tuned to us.
Yep.
And there is going to be another quiz. But yeah, follow us on. At The Awesome Pod on Twitter. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, like us there. And if you want to get involved with talking about comics, if you were inspired by Thought Bubble and you just want to keep that conversation going, then definitely go to the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk. It's the only place to be on Facebook.
Well, a nice few members from Thought Bubble. People, I think there was a lady who joined the other day who said, I was chatting to Vince and I decided to join. It sounds great. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. And it's genuine. There's no hard selling. It's just genuinely talking about comic making comics, selling comics, and you know.
I think it might have been the lady who wasn't it the lady that John Ottaway failed to murder.
Oh yes, Sarah.
That doesn't narrow it down.
Yeah, Sarah.
Yeah, there's long game thread.
We're really, really happy that you're safe.
I said something about I'm glad you survived, and he just sent me a message saying shut up.
We love you, John.
Yeah,
we love John.
Yeah, yeah. And we love it's all
good
our
to see
listeners.
Him, actually.
Yeah, and we love all our listeners, whether they listen to us on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave us a review. It helps get the word out about the show and about more great independent creators that you need to know about, of which we're going to be talking about a lot of new ones coming up, which is brilliant. That's one of the reasons I love conventions so much, discovering new creators. And thank you if you listen to us on any of the other networks, like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
We're also on Pod, Pull the Pope's Hat Off.
Do you know what? Sometimes I'm genuinely terrified of the sort of notes and stuff.
Well, it was going to be Pod Fizzy Gravy, but I went with that one instead.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, you've wasted that, haven't you? Because you could have saved that for next week.
You sent me a message over Thought Bubble and said, Dan, what's this? And I sent it back, the answer. It was something vile. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Can't remember.
Oh, I know what it was. We were talking... No, we're going to talk about this off air.
You gave a message to the Dictionary Corner.
It was a little bit of Urban Dictionary Corner, which... no, we're not going to talk about that now.
Oh, and thanks for the copy of Viz, by the way. D.
Oh, no props.
Yeah, I've been enjoying that on the pod.
For Christmas.
Yeah.
Get it in early.
Trumpeter's lips.
It's always good. We can't say any more than that, can we? So where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Ezohyz on Twitter, neveronanything.blogspot.com or neveronanything.bigcartel.com. There you go.
Nice, Dan.
I'm on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Nice. Which is going strong, dude. Going strong.
Thanks, man.
Thoroughly enjoying it. And you can find my work on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmouseformiles.com. So thank you very much for listening to this unconventional episode. I always think that the interview ones always slightly unconventional, aren't they?
Yeah,
there's some good people in there. I hope everyone enjoyed it, because there's a couple of there like I'm interviewing Al Davison. It's great.
And seriously, folks, if you like some of the people we interviewed, look them up online, etc.
Yeah, buy some of their stuff. There's a lot of good stuff there.
Lot of good stuff there. So thank you very much for listening. Go forth, have a brilliant week filled with comics and awesomeness. And from Dan, Tony and myself, have a great week. And Tony, Graham Peanut, what do they do?
Stay fucking awesome.
Yes.
How's that? All right, wasn't it?
That was lovely. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.